B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. Tuesday, September the 22nd. And this is the Sleep On It. Let's come in with a more intellectual approach, less emotion after the loss. And the problem with the Tuesday, let's look at it from the analytical side of things, sans emotion, is you still come away with, that's a horrible loss. It doesn't feel much better. There's not much more clarity. And we, you know, I try to see clarity on Tuesdays. And I don't have much more clarity off of this loss. It was a terrible loss. They're now 0-2. And, you know, back behind the eight ball yet again. 3 years in a row, you're now back behind the eight ball. So where do we go? I want to start with a theory. All right? Now, I need your advice here. I need your input, I should say, better than that. I need your input with this theory that Mikey Miss has. So I was listening to Mikey yesterday, and Mike believes that there is some sort of unified effort against the quarterback, as though this is, you know, Florentine politics, and they are all gathering to stab the quarterback. Now, you know, and Mike made a compelling case for it. Now, we all listened to Doug's news conferences, and yesterday again, the word regression was used by Zach Berman in a question to Doug. Doug actually clarified the word regression. And quite frankly, to Mike's point, he never goes out of his way to have the quarterbacks back in a discussion with the media. I mean, very rarely do you hear him staunchly have the quarterbacks back. So right away, your eyebrows are raised when it comes to that. However, I can't fathom that there is some sort of witch hunt for Wentz. And it's Doug and Howie, and Mike brought up the Doug being, you know, gleeful when they drafted Jalen Hurts. Now, I got to be honest with you. That makes no sense to me. It makes no sense whatsoever. So you supposedly have a franchise quarterback. And yeah, you know, like he was a bit inaccurate and he made a horrible throw to probably that squelched the comeback attempt and, you know, basically extinguished any hope they had of coming back in that game with that interception in the end zone on first down. Horrible throw. That said, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he still makes throws. Like, the throw is, I always bring up those throws to DeSean Jackson on the out from the other hash. I mean, he's a legitimate talent. Now, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously not a top five quarterback in the league right now. I mean, you know, he's not a top 10 quarterback in the league right now. So, you know, is that enough for you to make a concerted effort, like you're, you know, you want to poison the king, the prince? Like, that makes no sense to me. Why? So Jalen Hurts is your quarterback? First of all, who knows if Jalen Hurts can even play? People have this notion that Jalen Hurts is the Lamar Jackson. He's not. If you watched him in college, that's not the style of play he has. Now, I have my doubts. I think he was overdrafted by the Eagles. I like the kid. He's a rootable kid. But this whole idea that you got this shiny new toy, and so let's poison the current quarterback who you just paid makes no sense whatsoever to me. I don't know what or if there is a rift between Peterson and Wentz and where Howie Roseman is in the mix here. But I find it hard to believe that they want to stab the quarterback or push the quarterback out. I don't understand that. So I need your input here into what you think it is. And that was Mike's theory. I don't see it. I don't see it. And we'll get into all kinds of stuff involving the quarterback, how we view the quarterback or any star player with our expectations. So we'll get into all that today, but I want to start with the theory that there is something nefarious going on at the NovaCare complex. Because I don't believe that. I don't believe in it. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I don't know why Doug never appears to pick up for the quarterback in any kind of news conference or discussion. I don't know. I don't know why Howie Roseman, other than, you know, it was security in case Wentz gets hurt, or I don't know. You want to be smarter than everybody and try to get the quarterback. You know, listen, maybe that's it. Just try to stockpile quarterbacks because quarterbacks are so valuable and Wentz does have a tendency to get hurt. So, you know, I take it more like an innocent thing. But I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to you guys and see what you follow, what the breadcrumb trail that you follow, where does it take you? Phillies lose last night. They are clinging, and I mean clinging, to the last playoff spot, the eighth spot in the National League, and they're clinging to it. And there are four teams fighting for two spots. The good thing for the Phillies is that two of the teams are playing each other now, and two of the teams will play each other over the weekend. So that should help. But it only helps if you win. And they got a doubleheader today. And it's going to be interesting to see if there's somehow, some way, they sneak into the playoffs. And quite frankly, I go back and forth, wishy-washy, with should they make the playoffs, not make the playoffs, the whole thing. Just when I'm convinced not to make the playoffs, they win three in a row. Then when I think, all right, we'll make the playoffs, they lose two in a row. So that's the state of the baseball team. Good morning, Junis.
Hello. Is it a good morning? I watched Mickey Moniak throw a good baseball into the opposing team's dugout, or his dugout.
Yeah.
That was great yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm glad they used him with the first overall pick.
Yeah.
This Carson Wentz thing is interesting, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it because you don't draft a project to be the replacement of your franchise quarterback that you gave over $100 million. If you were going to do that, if that was a part of your plan, it would be a guy that you think will be a legit quarterback down the road. Right, you wouldn't do it to a project.
I agree. I don't.
He wasn't ready week one for a reason. He was only on the roster for week two for a reason. For two, you know, bogus plays. One of them they actually got 10 yards on when he was the second fake. Right? He wasn't even the first fake. He was the second fake. I don't buy it. I mean, there is something weird going on, I think. Like, I do think there is something weird between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. I talked about it ever since that Seahawks playoff game where Carson Wentz
gets... Well, I've seen it before that.
Yeah, but that was the big one to me when he has to, when he goes, I have to see the tape of the clown he hit.
I know.
To me, I go, dude, you guys just got eliminated from the playoffs. No, you might as well just go all
listen,
out.
It makes no sense to me whatsoever how he talks about the quarterback.
None.
He never talks about Wentz like you would talk about. Like, I've heard other coaches talk about their quarterbacks. I watch Andy. Now, Mahomes is Mahomes, right? But I listened to Andy talk about Mahomes, and, you know, there's a gush that comes over him. He never gushes over Wentz. Never.
Now, it'll be hard not to gush over Mahomes.
Okay.
Being the best quarterback in the NFL.
I mean, I've seen coaches, they rush, they leap to the back of their...
To their quarterback, yeah.
Yeah. Even guys that are pikers. Like, I heard Doug, perfect example. Doug went overboard over who? Think about that press conference. Think about how he went overboard gushing over the performance of a quarterback in that game against Seattle.
Oh, Josh McCown.
Correct.
He played with all that heart.
Warrior heart. I mean, he went on and on and on about a dude, and he sucked. All right, whatever.
He wasn't good.
All right, forget about the fact that Josh McCown, you know, he got hurt, tore the hammy and the whole thing, whatever. You know, it is what it is. But he was horrible.
And yeah, they ran like three plays.
Like, there was no, you know, it's not his fault. He was never good. And now he's old and never good. But, you know, he got it out, whatever. But Doug wanted to give him a purple heart after that game. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes. And then when Wentz gets cheap-shotted by Jadeveon Clowney, he was, I got to see the tape.
So, you know, I think there are clues that lead us somewhere. I don't know where it is. I just don't think it's an orchestrated effort against Wentz. Like, there's some witch hunt, and they're trying to run him out and replace him. And I just don't. That makes no sense to me. Zero sense to me.
No, it makes no sense to me either. But I'm fascinated. I put up a poll already, and I'm fascinated by the results. And it's about Carson Wentz and his future with the Eagles. Would you like to hear it?
I would.
On at 975 middays, all of a sudden, people are talking about Wentz not being a part of the future plans of the Eagles, whether it's a bad relationship, injury concerns, or Hurts being the future, people are talking about it. Will Carson be on the Eagles after his contract ends in 2024? Will they extend him? Your options. Yes, he's the franchise quarterback. No, 2024 will be the final season. No, they will opt out after 2022 because they have that opt-out in his contract. Right now, the leading vote getter is that they will opt out after the 2022 season at 39% of the vote. 38% say yes, he's the franchise quarterback. It just jumped up to 40% for they opt out. And no, 2024 will be the final season, 22% of the vote. So right now, it's early, but we got over 300 votes already. And the majority of the people are saying that they will opt out of Carson Wentz's contract following the 2022 season. I don't buy it. But I'm fascinated that Eagles fans feel this way.
Well, it's out there, and it's why I heard Mike talk about it for all afternoon yesterday, and I kept thinking about it going, that doesn't make sense. That makes zero sense. It's illogical to do that. But people believe it.
Yes.
Right away on the text board, Danny says, I really think they want to move Wentz and Ertz together, dump both their salaries, and don't have to worry about keeping Wentz happy by losing his best weapon. But there's all kinds of conspiracy.
We're just 2 weeks in.
Now, I don't believe that. I don't. Now, call me a rube. Call me naive. But I don't believe that they're trying to dump Wentz and Ertz. I mean, what purpose does that serve? What purpose? First of all, Jalen Hurts has got a ways to go before he's ready to play.
Yes.
And that's an if. He's not a lock. It's not a when. It's a strong if. And you really are in a hurry to get back to rolling dice over your quarterback? Granted, you know, He was disappointing the first 2 weeks. But I don't know. I don't want to go back in the netherworld of no quarterback.
No. I can't believe we're talking opt-outs after two games. And I'm stunned, quite frankly. I get it. You know, as fans, we react. We overreact sometimes. But, man, we're talking about the franchise quarterback. We're opting out already?
Well, that's their not what they choose. That's what they believe the Eagles will do.
Yes.
So it's not their decision.
No.
I don't know.
This is what they think the Eagles will do.
Well, who knows in 3 years, right?
Yeah. But who knows in 1 week? What if Carson chucks four touchdowns next week?
Okay, but you can't opt out after 2020, so.
No, you cannot.
What does it matter? What happens in 3 years? Who knows what happens in 3 years? Right?
Right.
3 years is a long time. It's three seasons.
Well, all I know is the confidence level is plummeting for Carson Wentz from the Eagles fan base.
Well, yeah, but the more important thing, because you understand about confidence and fragility and, you know, we are very reactionary and two bad games and a sort of hopeless season. Now, again, this is how this is our mood right now. All that could change, but, you know, I'll ask you, and I asked this question yesterday, too. Who's out there? Like, are you in a hurry to? Why are we in a hurry to get rid of the quarterback? I just don't understand it. And if you had, you know, if you had to, like, now we're talking about what, you know, this choice, this Sophie's choice. It's, you know, Doug and Jalen Hurts versus Wentz and unknown coach?
That's what it's becoming. It's no longer a, like, I texted you this Sunday night. I said, it's not a Wentz and Peterson both had a bad game conversation. All of a sudden, people are picking sides. And it's Doug versus Wentz. And I think a lot more people will say Doug.
Why?
Because of the Super Bowl. But no, I don't know why. Why can't we just say that they both had a bad game, as did Jim Schwartz, as did Howie Roseman?
Oh, by the way, you know, again, you know, Jim Schwartz had a wretched day.
Yeah, it was awful.
Just a bad day. I mean, look, I said it before. Wentz did not play well. All right? I'm not trying to tell you he did. And he throws the ball, the interception that extinguishes any hope for a comeback, right? They have momentum, and he throws, and he gets picked off first down in the end zone. But can I ask you a question? He threw the ball 43 times. So he had 17 incompletions, one bad interception, and then one garbage interception, right? Garbage time. So now you're talking 15 incompletions. Because he was 26 for 43. How many throws did he really miss? I don't know, five? Was it his five? What do you say, Andrew? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. But then again, it's the spot, too, in some of them. Right, like the fourth down throw to Dallas Goedert, not the one that was high and behind him, but it was just, he completely missed them. But then again, I didn't like the play call, so I'll say that.
But again, what are we talking about? A half dozen plays, throws, you know, missing an open receiver, half dozen of them?
Yes.
When you throw the ball 43 times?
Yes.
Do we expect the quarterback to be perfect?
No, but I think you also have to consider the spot. Like that interception, which was one of those bad throws.
Again, I already said
right.
That cost him the game, extinguishing it. So it was, I'm talking about overall. It's not to say he played well, because we know he didn't, right? We know that throw killed them. But when you throw the ball 43 times, and you might have six errant throws or misses of a open receiver, does that mean he's a bum?
No, he's not a bum.
Are we expecting perfection? But here's what I'm expecting. Don't make that throw on first down.
Right.
But other than that, are we unrealistic in our expectation of his game?
I think we are sometimes. I think.
And by the way, with the fact that there's, what, one credible receiver other than the tight ends?
I think people expect 13 out of 13 like Jared Goff. And you shouldn't expect that out of any quarterback, really. But I think that people saw Jared, oh, how come this guy's going 13 for 13?
Schwartz, he would be 13
Maybe.
For 13.
It's a good point.
Right. We'll kick all this around. High drama. Wow, it's like its own Netflix series. It's Cuz Radio with Shunis. We're just getting started on this Tuesday. Let's talk a little LaBruciano.
Anthony!
My man, Anthony. So, here's the thing. I had a friend of mine. There was a storm. It was about a month ago. One of those bad storms. And he's freaking out. Oh, my God. My water's coming in. Who's your roofer? He was in panic. I don't blame him. Water gushing in the house. No good. Called Anthony. Gave him the number. Call Anthony. LaBruciano Roofing. Call him. He calls him. There was. He didn't need a whole new roof. He just needed a repair. Repaired it. Everything was fine. Same thing. I had somebody else who needed a whole new roof. Oh, my God, this is awful. And I said, listen, go to Anthony. He's going to fix it right. All right? Rest assured, you're dealing with the best of Pennsylvania, LaBruciano Roofing. And look, when you meet Anthony, you're going to see why. He's got hundreds of five-star Google reviews. He's a great dude. And LaBruciano Roofing is a CertainT five-star select shingle master, which means he can offer the best warranty in the business. That's 50 years from the manufacturer, 25 years on workmanship. Your home's roof is too important to trust for some jack-of-all-trades guy. Go with the only roofing expert I recommend, LaBruciano Roofing. Call him, 610-265-ROOF, or go to paroofpros.com. That's paroofpros.com. LaBruciano Roofing, the master.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew, I don't know what's going on in this town. I've never seen anything like this. I don't know. I'm trying to go back into the annals. Maybe toward the end of McNabb, but we're not at the end of Wentz.
Exactly.
We're not there. But listening to people and people that I trust, you know, all of our callers and all, these people are into it. Let's take a gander at the text board. Tasty cake, Dom. Carson's not here next year, Ant. It's over. He gets benched after Baltimore when they are 1-5. It's over, Ant.
Wow.
That is just gloom from the Tasty Cake.
So Jalen Hurts, who can barely blow his own nose, is gonna take over.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe it's a product of how we feel at 0-2 and being depressed, but I don't buy that. I don't buy that Carson is it's over with Carson. I don't buy that there's a benching at any point this season. I don't buy that there is an orchestrated coup to get the quarterback. I don't believe that. I might be naive, and I know Mike believes in the coup. I just don't believe in it.
No, neither do I. But I want to ask you something because
right. You
said it's not the end of Wentz yet. You know, we haven't felt this way really since the end of McNabb. Now, let me ask you. around what year was, you know, you've been doing this for a while. What was that year when the end of five really started coming through to the callers, to the people of Philadelphia? I was still a young pup at the time.
So Donovan's career went like this. Pure Love. Well, the boo at the draft.
Yeah.
Which always threw him off. Like, he never could get over it. Like, why? I mean, just, he could never get over it. That is what soiled his relationship, right? Like, he could never get over it. Then there was, like, a Major Love. They loved him.
Yes.
Then the frustrations of the championship losses mounted, right? You know, and there was lots of blame on Andy, the lack of receivers, on Joe Banner, but also they grew frustration with Donovan. Championship game loss,
mm-hmm.
You know, Tampa, he was not good when he came back. Carolina wasn't his fault, but he threw three interceptions, got hurt. And then the Super Bowl, you know, and then people started to lose a little faith because the following year was a disaster.
Yes.
And it was he and T.O., and you know how the fans sided with Owens, right? So that's the story. Then, you know, there's an injury and there's a couple bad years. There's Merry Christmas Philadelphia and people fell in love with Garcia. And then they kind of rekindled a bit with Donovan. There was the big win over the Cowboys, 44-6.
Right.
And then it was, you know, the benching. There was a benching with
Baltimore again. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's who you're getting at?
No, what I'm getting at is,
the whole chapter and verse of it.
What I'm getting at is the injury part. Garcia comes in, plays well. Earlier in his career was the A.J. Feely thing, right?
Yeah.
It was just year two for Wentz when the backup came in and had success. Right? Like, so there was that timing for, like, people were starting to move on from McNabb when Garcia comes in and plays well. And people fall in love with the backup with Jeff Garcia. It was only year two for Wentz. So when you say it can't be the end of Wentz yet in Philadelphia, I don't know. Is it kind of like telling the same story just in a sped up version where it's only year two?
Dude,
right?
Yeah, but I don't think that this is, again, I don't, first of all, the difference with Donovan was Andy loved Donovan. There was no,
right.
He wasn't trying to replace him. And it wasn't until the end, toward the end, that he started to, you know, to look for his heir apparent. But he wasn't looking to replace Donovan like this in his prime. This is year five for Wentz. I still don't believe. I don't believe the drafting of Hurts was to supplant the quarterback. I think it was to stockpile at the position. You know, it was, look, We're all about quarterbacks.
Quarterback factory.
Yeah, I mean,
out here.
Okay, yes, but I use the word nefarious. I think it was an honest pick. I don't know, I disagree with it.
Right.
But I think it was an honest pick not to kill the quarterback, but to, you know, stockpile at an important position. And go, look at me, I turned it. Second round pick and we're first round pick, or look at me, you know, we lost our franchise quarterback to injury again and I got this kid. That's what I take it as. I don't take it as we're through with Wentz. We're going to get out of this contract. I can't believe that. Let's get it, kick it off on the phones. James, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. James, good morning.
Good morning, Aunt
Judith. What's up, buddy?
First time, long time listener. I'm going to give a big Doug Peterson.
Oh, no.
Listen, I don't want to pay no interest to the conspiracy theories. Mike Missanelli laid it out yesterday, but then after Doug's interview and question about his quarterback, and he says it's a good question. Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't care. You've seen it in the past. It doesn't matter if the coach hates his quarterback or not. You at least defer the question, if not back him to the fullest. So that raised a lot of flags. I mean, it gets you starting to think, are they really, is Doug's relationship with Carson that miscued or
fractured?
Messed
up?
Yeah, I mean.
All right, so could it be this? Because I don't believe in the conspiracy theory. I don't. Do I think that Peterson and Wentz are chummy chum chum chums? No, I don't. Do I think Peterson likes Wentz? Maybe not. Maybe he just looks at him like the kid's a pain in the ass, or like I don't know what he is, right, in the room, but certainly there's no lovey-lovey goo there. But I don't think it's enough for him to completely sever the relationship. Like, I don't think he hates him. I don't think he's trying to push him away. Do you?
I say no only because that would be the craziest thing I've ever seen. You know? I mean, is he purposely trying to get him out of town and get someone else in there? I don't think so. Would he rather have someone else? May that be Jalen Hurts? I don't know. I think so. I think he's pushing to the front office like, look, you know, look at what I did with Nick Foles. If Carson's not working out, I could do something with someone else. He thinks he's some, like you said, Junis, a quarterback factory, which is crazy.
Listen,
but I truly
believe, listen. I mean, I don't think it's disparaging to say that they caught lightning in a bottle this year of the Super Bowl, right?
100%.
Right? I mean, listen.
Everything worked out.
Right, Villanova in 1985, Villanova beats Georgetown, right? Like, they had a run through the whole NCAA tournament, right? So, stuff like that happens, and you have a magic, and things go your way, and you have three games, and you somehow win those three games. But is there anyone out there that believes Nick Foles is a starting quarterback or should still be the quarterback here? I mean, Foles.
That's been proven. He's backing up freaking Trubisky right now.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly.
Come on.
So what is it? What is it? Like, is Doug think what? That he can turn? That was one instant, one moment in time. James, great stuff. That was one moment in time where everything worked out. Every fourth, go for it on fourth down, he was throwing sevens. Listen, there are times when it wasn't luck. I'm not saying it was all, but when you have that, when your luck's with you, it's a big, it's wind in your sails, right?
Yeah.
It makes you go. And everything just fell right. The stars aligned. That's an expression for a reason. You're not going to replicate that. If you're going to win it, the next time you win it, or if you ever win it again, it's got to be a real, you win, you have a good season, the quarterback's playing well, whoever the quarterback is, and he's a legitimate starter in the league. Right?
Yeah, it's probably not going to be the backup again. Especially because Foles was the first backup since when? Hostetler, which was how many years?
Right.
It's not like it happens every other year.
So I don't know. What does Peterson want?
It's a good question, and it's a great question. And the caller is right. That question and answer in the press conference yesterday was,
yeah. We had it live and we talked about it. The word was regression. Zach Berman of The Athletic asked the question. Take a listen to it.
In Carson's fifth year in the league and fifth year working with you, why are you seeing his production and his performance regress?
Progress.
Regress.
Oh, regress. Regress.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did cut out there a second. You know, it's a good question. You know, for us, it's a matter of continuing to work, continuing, you know, I think as coaches and players, we continue to strive to get better every single day. You know, I just don't want Carson to feel like he has to make all the plays every single time. I just want him to just be Carson, you know, and you guys know him, you've been around him, you've heard him, you know, his demeanor is he wants to do everything right. And we've given him control to do that. And you know, but we just got to continue to work to get better.
So, wow. What are you saying about that back and forth?
It is. To the caller's point, I agree with him. It's interesting that he didn't do the whole, you know, I don't think he's regressing, but here's some things he could work on. Like, he dove right into it. Yeah, it's a good question as to why he's regressing. He's got to do this better, this better, this better.
All right. Can it be? Now, again, text board, I look at it and it's going crazy. Head coach admits his franchise quarterback has regressed. I have never heard that before. Now, could it be that it's not, it sounds horrible, right? Like on its surface, it's terrible for the head coach to not only entertain, but clarify the word, sigh to buy yourself time and think about your answer, and then come back at it with, yeah, well, maybe, you know. So, that's horrible.
Yes.
Okay, however, could it be that Doug is a little clumsy with how he does the press conference and the words he uses?
Like, yeah.
Like, he...
Could be it.
Like, he really didn't have any deep-rooted harm. He didn't mean it like it came out, is my point. Isn't that possible? That he didn't mean not to have the quarterbacks back and that it's a horrible look, but he didn't mean it for it to be a horrible look?
Or is he someone that doesn't really think and he just speaks? And that may be something that's on his mind.
I mean, he's not a great orator. I mean, let's face it. He's a football coach. He doesn't like doing the news conferences.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
But I'm trying to find his answer to Josh McCown in the wild card game, because that also came right to his mind.
All right.
How he was a warrior.
Yeah. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Rome?
Hey, what's up there, eh?
How you doing, brother?
Doing this. Wow, I'm not into the psychoanalyst type of thing. I'm not going to put myself on that grade or going like with Mike with the conspiracy. But there's a number of different things. Like, we've already conceded the fact the two men don't seem to be getting on the same page. Then there's the possibility in my mind that Howie Roseman really, in deep recesses to himself, knows he doesn't know how to judge talent. I'll give him the fact that, you know, he can juggle the books and play the numbers. But as far as talent evaluation and that kind of thing, but I think they know that they need to do a team overbuild. And what's the easiest way to do that? Just provide enough to appease the fans, let the quarterback, like, go on his own reins, and if he doesn't succeed, we can trade him. Do you think they really want to bring back a close to 30-year-old tight end who's, okay, I give her his great hands, but does he run after the catch? Is he a real good blocker? And don't we have a tight end who's a starting tight end?
Yeah, no, listen, obviously, and Ertz got into a shouting match with Howie.
Absolutely.
So, it's clear. And by the way, I understand where how he's coming from.
And come on, let's pull some more stuff that comes out of here.
But does that mean
team drama?
But does that mean you don't want the quarterback? You may not want to sink a boatload of money into Zach, but does that mean you don't want the quarterback?
Hey, they are bosom buddies. But let's go into other things.
All right.
Look, they won the Super Bowl. It's still a couple of years, and the fans, all of them are not in, like, you know, pitchfork and torches. So, that being said, not wanting to use the R word, rebuild, when you have, you know, Doug as a type of, okay, I'll follow and be the good soldier. You know, you impose on his will about the fact of what kind of coach is he supposed to have. I'm not a coach, but it'd be like, wait a minute, hold it. You're the owner and you're the general manager, but there's certain words you don't step over this line. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you doing for me? You know?
So,
you got, look, Anth, I hate to use a four-letter word. I love you, man. But you see, they are not looking at it the way you are or a way of fan. I'm divorced from it. I'm just as far as observing. But we got to be straight. They're pretty much kind of like laying out.
Explain to me how I'm looking at it, because I'm trying to look at it.
Well, you're
really like, I'm trying to look at it dispassionately.
No. You want to be positive. You want to have the best thoughts about people. And that's great. I envy you on that. A lot of us do. But you see, for me, for some of you, when we see how he just kind of like does the sleight of hand on the press conferences, you know, that speaks volumes.
Do you think that Doug is that diabolical?
Inadvertently. Look, if you feel as though you're beating yourself over the head, if you feel they're not corresponding, if you look, you have won the Super Bowl, so you know you've got a play on time here.
Right.
So you don't have the pressure. I mean, you did it without the guy who's actually playing for you now. He piled the numbers up in that season. He had an MVP season. But that doesn't mean that he was there really holding the trophy as the winner.
All right, last thing, I got to go.
Sure.
Is it smart to move on from Wentz right now?
It's not
going to
be
thing?
Right now. This is a gradual thing. Think of it like the Arctic.
Okay,
circle.
So okay. I got it. I got your analogy. Rome, great stuff as always, brother. Thank you. So this is all a campaign. This is all a campaign against the quarterback. I mean, these are plugged in people. Sharp people. And they see an orchestrated campaign against the quarterback.
Wow.
Where are we living
at? You know, it's a good question.
What?
Is this Washington, D.C.? Or is it 1600s Florence? What's up? It's Anthony, and I have a timely and specific message about a local company. All right? That local company is hiring right now for installers and service techs. It's Dreyfus Fireplaces, and they're seeking skilled, reliable tradesmen to install and service prefab fireplaces at both residential and commercial sites. Visit DreyfusFireplaces.com or simply call 215-924-3500. Was your position eliminated in the wake of COVID crisis? Are you out of work and but you're ready to get back on the field with the right team? Dreyfus Fireplaces, located in the great city of Philadelphia, might be the perfect employer for you. Let's keep it simple. They have immediate positions available. They offer competitive pay, and they aren't going anywhere. They've been around for 145 years. Visit DreyfusFireplaces.com. That's DreyfusS. The number again, 215-924-3500. Dreyfus, bringing the heat with quality and service since 1876.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 11 a.m. across the Delaware Valley. 15 minutes, Jim Schwartz meets the media. What will his tenor be today? Will it be off-putting? Will he have an arrogant tone about him today? What excuse will he make for such a pathetic performance by the defense?
You know, it's a good question.
Now, Schwartz isn't a sire.
No, he's not.
He's just...
gets right to it.
Prickly. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. So, sometimes I like that out of my defensive coordinator.
I do too. Listen,
but he can't be prickly after allowing 449 yards.
Listen, he could be prickly all he wants to his players. To the white snake. Give it to me.
Oh.
You know, be prickly to the white snake. Get some, you know, be prickly to those linebackers. You play a wide nine. Better have the backers. You know, I don't know. I need the defensive coordinator to shore some things up. Heading into the Joe Burrow and the young buck, young boy, playing some
white snake.
Here I go again on my own.
I can't get enough of that. I don't know if it's it's almost on board with the Pigpen hoedown.
Oh yeah. They also sound similar.
Nate or Nathan, which one are you going by these days?
White Snake.
Sorry it wasn't good enough.
Alright. Let me get back to the phones. Dwayne in Richmond. Dwayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, first I want to say it's a great topic, you know, you brought up in the beginning. But I just want to, the thing with Wentz, and you know, I'm with you, I'm a Wentz guy, but I'm starting to be one of those fans to really fade on Wentz too, because I think Wentz is just going to give, we've seen the talent in Wentz. He has the talent, right? Let's talk facts. He has the talent. We've seen it in 2017. But we really haven't seen it since. Last year, the last four games, we saw with Wentz. So to me, it's like Wentz is going to he's going to flash every now and then. We got to ask ourselves: do we want a quarterback that's just going to flash every now and then and have up and down games for our franchise quarterback?
So so let me stop you, because that is a great conversation. It really is. And I completely understand where you're coming from. The only nagging thing, and again, it's a nagging thing. Give me the receiver other than DeSean Jackson who will make a play for the kid.
That's a good point.
Give me the brilliance of the coach that you've seen where he's played to the quarterback strength.
That's a good point. I definitely.
So I don't know. Like, he might be a flash guy, right? He may be up and down. I don't know. You might be like that. Might be right, but I just want to see it. I want to see it with credible receivers, and I want to see it with a creative and credible game plan. All right. Okay. Hey, that's what he is.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. That's a good point. Okay. And because, you know, and I also feel like, you know, my last point is, you know, I just feel like I don't know what Hurts is going to be from college. Looking at him college, I don't know if he could be, you know, we never know till he gets a shot. But I don't think Carson Wentz is coachable. I just don't think he could be. What's the definition of insanity? Trying the same thing over and over again when it's not working, right?
Right.
Like, some ownership got to go to Carson and be like, hey, listen, maybe I should listen to my coaches here with some of the things. I know I'm Brett Favre. I got a cannon. I know I'm talented. I know I can make the throw. And some of the things that I did last year is what got us to the playoffs. But when is Carson going to have to take a step back and look at himself? And I think that's what's frustrating Doug, is because he can't coach Carson. So that's
You know what? Let me throw this at you, because – That may be true. What if Wentz goes, that guy is adult. Now, you know, when Reich left, I lost my guy. I don't know why I would say that. Again, I'm just playing devil's advocate because that's the flip side of, you know, he's uncoachable and poor Doug has to deal with Wentz. The flip side is Wentz goes, really? With this guy? He calls the same play 17 times in a row.
Right.
He's unimagined. He has no imagination. He's weak. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a plausible scenario. As Doug says, he's a cult. I can't break him. He's a hard head. He won't listen to me.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That's the tough part of where we're at. Because right. we don't any of it. Like, we don't, there's something there. We can all smell it, right? We all smell the fish in the dumpster. But we can't figure out, is it in the dumpster or is it in the ground, right? Like, where's it coming from? Where's that smell coming from?
Right, yeah. It is just going to have to take time. But, you know, it's painful. I mean, this team has me on an emotional roller coaster.
I know. I'm with you, brother. I mean, listen. We love the team. We love all the participants, right? We love Doug and we love Carson and we love all these guys and we want them to succeed. I don't want to be talking about 0-2 drama. I get no jollies off of that. Listen, I want to win. I enjoyed. Yeah. There was no better time than that run in the Super Bowl or when Andy had him running, and that was fun.
Yeah. So.
All right, Dwayne. Great stuff, brother, as always, man. Okay. Appreciate it. Let's go to Zach in Charlotte. Zach, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Zach.
So, actually, I've enjoyed the last few calls. The last call that you guys had, I really think you're both potentially right as far as the potential friction between Doug and Carson. And something definitely seems to be there. And Anthony, the point you made there towards the end of that call, you know, suggesting that, hey, maybe he's not thrilled with Doug. I didn't think about that, but that could certainly be the case. But regardless of it, that relationship's obviously not nearly as important if you're winning, which they're not. Now, I think it's fair to look at Carson. I think it's fair to look at, and I've been a Carson guy for a long time. But this season, something hit me in the last couple weeks, watching him play. He's 5 years in, and he was a better quarterback 3 years ago. And maybe it is a Frank Reich thing. That's the big question. But either way, his play is not the same. He makes the same mistakes over and over again.
Well, and that's correct. I mean, that throw is a hard head throw, right? That throw is, dude, what are you doing? We got momentum. We can't afford you to make that kind of throw. That's hard headed, right? I can throw through a brick wall. You know, that's what I, so you're right. Now, the flip side, because there's always another side to it, is, yeah, what do you want me to do? I got the first game, Deshaun Jackson didn't even play but half the snaps. So who do you want me to throw to? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? Look, I just tried to throw to the guy, right? He can't make a play. Who do you want me to throw to? Tight end?
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's tough, and there's something to be said for that. And, you know, you can look at our draft, and there's been a lot of issues within the draft, and there's plenty of blame to go around. I think everyone will agree there's a lot of blame to go around, but Carson deserves a fair bit of it. And
I agree, and I'm with you. And that's why, you know, I agree with the first part of your conversation, but I do think we should look at the other side of it, too, because, if DK Metcalf's on this team, All right. Well, to me, it's with a quarterback, right? But J.J. Arcega-Whiteside stinks. I mean, let's be real. Right?
Oh, he's horrible.
Horrible. Yeah. Jalen Reagor's a kid. He's a puppy. Right? Hightower's a puppy. And then he's got Deshaun Jackson. So is that sufficient?
It's not. It's not. But you look at other quarterbacks, and you look at the quarterbacks in his class, and you look at the quarterbacks in the class of Stinted. And
I don't know. Kyler Murray just got DeAndre Hopkins, and it worked out.
No doubt, and we should have been on the phone trying to get him.
I don't know. Did you see Derek Carr last night? Pretty good receivers now.
No doubt. I just, I'm sick of the sound bites. I'm sick of the same sound bites after every game. I take ownership. All right, well.
I know. Listen, I feel you, Zach. I feel you. And that mistake over and over again is frustrating as all get out. It's frustrating as all get out. Like, dude, what are you doing? Why could you do that? And you, to make matters 10 times worse, you do it on first down. But again, it goes back to what I believe. And I believe he just presses. I believe he's been pressing since the day he went out against the Rams. He's been pressing and trying to play hero ball and trying to do whatever he could, trying way too hard ever since Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. That's what I believe. And that throw is another product of trying too hard. And I don't believe he's got sufficient weapons right now. And I do believe that Doug can be better with his game plan. But I believe that Carson is tortured. He's a tortured soul. And he's trying to do whatever he can. And maybe, I don't know, and maybe how it all winds up is he just, that moment in time, killed any hope for him as an Eagles quarterback. But if you ask me, he is pressing.
Yeah, and he's I don't disagree with you there. You're right. He tries to do too much. I don't know, man. This is just one incredible story, and it always will be with his career. Right? Everything that's associated with Nick Foles, everything that's associated with the injuries, now the Jalen Hurts thing. So much. There's so much drama. Too much drama for my liking, to be honest.
I agree. But what are you going to
watch football?
Yeah. But if we're trying to make sense of what's going on, this is what it is. I mean, I don't believe that there's an orchestrated thing where they want to get rid of the kid. I really don't. I think they're frustrated by him. I think Doug's frustrated by him.
Yeah, which is, you could tell. Yeah. By his answers, you can tell.
I think it's an innocent frustration. I don't think Doug is trying to put a campaign out there. All right, we got Jim Schwartz. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. After the game, Rodney McLeod said that the Rams pretty much did exactly what you guys expected them to do. So in a case like that, when you feel like you're prepared, what happened on the field to lead to that result?
Well, what happened on the field was I had a poor game plan. And we had a very simple game plan. You guys know that the Rams use a lot of tempos out of their huddle and a lot of different motions and things like that. And the whole sort of theme was to try to make it as simple as we could. And we've had success with that in the past. But in an effort to do that, I also created a lot of conflict with what the guys were doing. And it gave them a lot of stuff to look at. And what I thought would make it easier didn't make it easier. It made it harder. And looking back on it, I mean, I came right in after the game and watched the tape. I really should have had a more complex game plan. And it sounds funny to talk about, but a more complex game plan would have narrowed the focus of each individual player, would have made it more difficult to execute, but it would have narrowed the focus. And I think that, you know, we could have done that. We went to that after about three series. We made a little rally, but it was too late. And I take that on myself. It's my job to put the players in good positions. And particularly in the first three series, I didn't do a good enough job of doing that. And it looked like we were having miscommunications or.
All right, we got a glitch.
Yeah, the world of Zoom. All the reporters are pointing to their ears, saying that they right. can't hear him. So I'm sure in a brief moment, I'll hear someone saying, "Hey, we'll fix him up now."
Yeah, I will tell you, I loved Jim Schwartz's first line. All right, here he is.
And I take 100% responsibility for that.
Hey, Jim, if I could follow up, we lost you there a little bit.
Really? Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
That's okay.
I had some really good sites and really good stuff right there. And
I take full responsibility
right now, are they? Is anybody, because my language might not be the best during this. So just a little forewarned. Go ahead.
We are live.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, if I can just follow up. If you come in with a game plan and then have to change it after three series, how much more difficult does that make it?
We've done that before. I mean, you guys think back a couple years ago, we played the Giants. And we were trying to set an NFL record for about the amount of yards we gave up in the first half. And then we just said, look, and we were getting beat by stuff like tempo, and we were getting beat by, you know, just communication and stuff like that. And simple is what helped us. In this game, we didn't get beat by tempo and communication. It was execution, and it was very difficult to execute those things. Again, simple, but more difficult to execute. And, you know, we like I said, change it. That was probably one series too late on changing that. You know, the first series, you're like, okay, we gave up a touchdown. Let's regroup. Second series, regroup. And then third series, you know, it's like, you know, we need to make a change right now. And I was probably a series too late on pulling the trigger and going to a different thing. Now, we went to a game plan that allowed the guys to focus more on their particular area, but it also became physically very difficult to execute because of all the traffic and the picks. And you saw plays we'd given up, getting guys picked and things like that. That was a result of, you know, sort of where we went. We had some success. We got the game back in hand. And then as it went on and on, it, you know, it put our guys in some tough positions. And like I said, I take 100% of that on me. It's my job to put the guys in good positions. And I don't feel I did anywhere near a good enough job doing that.
Go ahead, Bo, and then Tim.
So, Jim, if it was an execution issue in the beginning of that game, is it fair to say that there's a correlation between that and having so many new pieces on the defense?
No, I don't think so. I think that it was more execution come from, you know, what I was asking them to focus on and things like that. And I think I just divided their attention too much, you know, chase two rabbits, catch none. You know, that kind of stuff. We had very experienced players make uncharacteristic mistakes. You know, Rodney talked about himself. Guys like Brandon Graham, who's one of the best backside run defenders I've ever been around. We got gashed on a couple runs because Brandon didn't close the way that he normally closes. Or, you know, Avante Maddox, who is a young vet, but he's an experienced player looking in the backfield, letting a guy run past him. You know, Jalen Mills, you know, playing the run when it was a pass. When too many of those things happen, I don't blame the players. I blame myself. You know, you have one missed assignment or, you know, you have one tough matchup or a guy physically gives up the play. A lot of times you can't lose confidence in your game plan and you can't blame yourself for things like that. But when you get experienced players that start making those kind of mistakes, then you're like, okay, we're on the wrong track here. And like I said, I was a step behind switching to plan B, and I should have been quicker on the switch. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things in that game that weren't us. Talked about guys like Brandon Graham or Rodney, and I could go through every guy. You guys know I don't like call guys out in the media, but things that we've typically been very good at over the last 4 years, we're not very good at right now. Over the last 4 years, we're the number one run defense in the NFL. We're not playing like that right now. You know, we're the, I think, number two red zone defense in the NFL over the last 4 years. Not right now. We're like the number three third down defense in the NFL over those years. Not right now. We're top 10 in takeaways. Not right now. Top 10 in points allowed. We're bleeding points. And my message to the guys was even more than those areas. We got to get back to being us.
Let's leave Jim. I will tell you, I thought that was great way to answer. I thought his answers were spot on. He took all the blame in the world. You know, he said it was my fault He talked about his players, and while he pointed out mistakes, he talked about how good they are, and he said, listen, if those veteran guys are making those kinds of mistakes, then I'm on the wrong path. So he took complete responsibility in a big way. I appreciate that from Jim Schwartz. I really do. I thought he answered those questions like a stand-up guy. We'll talk about it, and we'll get back to the Carson Doug melodrama coming up next. Cuz Radio with the Tunis. Hey, listen, let's talk about Parks Casino Street Row Bet Saver. Parks, our 4-for-4 sports book of choice. Hey, they have a great offer again for the new users out there. If you're new to Parks and you're new to the app, maybe you just go to the sports book every once in a while, but if you want to download the app for your convenience, you get a risk-free bet. $500. That's right. The best new customer offer out there, Parks Casino. You can get a risk-free bet of $500 with your first deposit. You got to use code FANATIC. You go to parkscasino.com/PA. Download the app. We got hoops tonight. Lakers, 6-point favorite over Denver. Celtics, 3-point favorite over the Heat. I like the Heat. How about Sunday? Birds, 6.5. Over the Bengals, over on their 47. I like the over again. I think that's an over. As far as the 6.5, I wouldn't lay it. That's it. And don't forget, if you're on the app, you got live in-game betting on every play. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use that promo code FANATIC. Get your risk-free bet to $500. Got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. So, what do you think of Jim?
I'm glad that he took some accountability. A lot of it, all of it. I kept on listening during the break. He continued to say, on me. Didn't put him in a good spot.
And he actually gave you little answers, a little insight. Like,
it was the real, I got to do a better job. I got to do a better job.
Right. No, I give him a lot of credit, man. He was not snarky at all. He was real. That's not us. He said, hasn't been us. We haven't gotten turnovers, and we haven't. And I think he was pretty... I did appreciate it because he said the game plan was too simple, and he talked about being down the wrong path and too late, and he was late to adjust.
Yeah, he said he waited till after the third touchdown, and at that point it was too late. You're right. I think he had a good press conference. Somebody actually tweeted into the station, because I was live tweeting the press conference. Somebody tweeted in and said, I still hate him, but I love that he's taking accountability.
Yeah, I think he was...
A lot of people don't like Jim Schwartz. Sometimes I think unfair criticism. Yeah,
you know what it is? It's the scheme. Yeah. I get frustrated by the scheme, too.
I do, too.
When he fails, I get frustrated because I do want pressure. I do want to bring more pressure against young quarterbacks. And he'll never over-pressure.
Right.
That's not who he is. That's not his scheme. And that's the toughest thing about him that we all, talk about.
Especially following an era of, Jim Johnson and bringing pressure constantly. A few defensive coordinators later, but you know what I'm saying.
How about this? I feel bad for the Taysom King. Birds suck. Phil sucks. Celtics coming back. Darryl's miracle win in Atlanta. And Joe Buck is a Hall of Famer. I might jump. That's sad, man. I can't believe the Taysom Hill hates Joe Buck. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know how you can hate that man.
You like the whole thing? Come
yeah.
on, man.
This is the big ace start.
This is an ace start. Come on, man. You're pitching against a team going nowhere.
Against a pitcher who's not that good, and Austin Voth.
He stinks.
Philly's bat should hit him up a little bit.
Now, today, the whole thing is this. They have to win game one.
Yes.
Have to.
And do it with confidence. Give me a 10-1 piece.
Right. Like it was a couple weeks ago, you remember? He pitched, and it was like 9-9. It was over the Marlins.
Yes. Yeah, give me another one of those.
That's what he needs to do.
Give me a 10-0 spot.
Especially after the last start.
Against the Mets.
Nolan needs to come out and pitch like that ace light that he is. Let's go to Rich in Uptown. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, Ant? Long time listening. I've been listening to you since Who's That Guy on the other station.
Wow! How about that, Rich? Who's that guy? Oh, that's cool, so, man.
I just want to make a point real quick that I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand how a blue-collar, hard-nosed fan base turned on a quarterback that played on a torn ACL for us, broke his back, with his coach, by his coach not helping him, having him run RPOs, which doesn't fit his style of play. Last year, he played with absolutely nothing, got cheap-shotted out of a playoff game, and the fan base just completely turned on him for it. And my question to you is, I want to know what is the winning percentage when Carson has Alshon on the field. I know, we call him a rat and all that.
Right.
But when he's out there, Carson does find him for short yardage plays and touchdowns. And I know last week you was asking who is a short yardage guy if not Ertz. So I'll let y'all discuss.
No, you don't do it. It's interesting, Ertz too. And I mean, can he play? Like he had a nasty injury. So forget all about the rat stuff and everything else. Can he play? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But you're right. They need someone that can move the sticks. That's a guy that can catch first downs.
Right.
Because Jackson's everything.
And he's not a possession receiver.
Well, I think he can be. I think DeSean Jackson can be Steve Smith, right?
And
do everything.
Okay.
But, I mean, right now, Jalen Reagor's not ready. I mean, you can see he's still.
I'm expecting a lot of drops from him this year, if I'm being honest. I'm expecting a decent amount of drops from him.
Maybe. I never thought that he was the kid that would come right in and all of a sudden be DK Metcalf, right? He's got to take a little time. I think he can be legitimate. I think he's got good speed. And, you know, without a preseason, it's harder for a kid like Reagor. So I'm not down on him. I just think he needs time. He needs time to kind of flourish.
And I also think that's hurting Wentz as well, too. Like, I know I'm not trying to make excuses for him or nothing but none of his receivers he's played with, really. I mean, he had Deshaun for two games last year. Like, he's still working on timing and stuff with them guys. Doug has to help him with the play calling and the scheme of offense. Like, I don't understand how we don't have an offensive coordinator.
Do you think that Doug is trying – if there's something – shady going on, and Doug is out on Carson?
I do, because I don't understand how you're not running an offense to your quarterback strengths. Like, I listen to Doug praise Foles. I listen to him praise McCown. I listen to him praise Hurts. But I haven't heard him be happy about Carson since he came back in the Indianapolis game.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't heard him say anything good about him since.
I hear you. I don't know. I mean, can it be? Can the head coach, Richie, can the head coach just turn his back on the franchise quarterback? That makes no sense to me.
Right. Yeah, because it's like you're trying to sabotage your own team, which can cost Doug his job.
Right. What sense is that? He knows that Hurts isn't ready. So what good is it? It's what, you're laying a campaign? I don't believe that.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know you know everything going on with the inside of the team.
I don't.
Was there Well, to some of the stuff, I should say. Was there any truth to what they were saying about Carson bullying? I forget his name.
Yeah, Mike Rowe. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't use the word bully, though. I think that's silly.
Right.
Like,
yeah, right.
Grown
right.
Men. You talk about the NFL. Right. Like, we talk about bullies. That happens in the third grade.
Right.
I mean, you know, maybe Carson says, yo, dude, you're not good enough. Right?
Right.
I need better. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, that's part of it. Richie, great stuff, my brother. I appreciate your phone call, man. Have a great one. I just still can't get over this notion that the coach is orchestrating a campaign.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't believe it. I think it's crazy.
And
why would he do that?
I didn't want to believe the Frank Reich, John DeFilippo effect, right? I started believing it last year. Last year is also when I started believing this Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson thing. And again, it goes right back to the wild card game when he did not protect, when he didn't back up his quarterback. He didn't back it up at all. I listened to it during one of the breaks, the press conference following the Eagles Seahawks game. And they kept on asking him about, I got to see the tape. Then he goes, honestly, I didn't even see the play happen. I was looking at my chart for the next play. And I was like, dude, just back up your quarterback. Just back him up. That's all.
Yeah, I don't understand that. What do you say about McCown?
He said the whole team was resilient, including Josh McCown. He didn't go on just specifically on Josh, but the whole team was resilient and warriors and played through injuries and all that stuff.
Is he really? There's no way. I don't believe it. Greg.
You know, it's a good question.
Yeah, I there's no explanation for that other than he misspoke. Like, he doesn't understand the ramifications of that.
You know the old saying, your drunk thoughts are your real thoughts?
Right.
Maybe, I'm telling you, maybe Doug's press conferences, I don't think he thinks before he speaks. I think he just says what's on his mind. He does to try to buy some time, and then he keeps going. He said that's a great question regarding his quarterback's regression.
I mean, who says
that? Your first couple words out of your mouth should be, he's not regressing.
Who says that?
I don't know.
In the media. But again, he's unorthodox.
No and no.
He's unorthodox. Remember? He's an unorthodox guy. Frank Reich said, I wouldn't do that, but he does. He'll call the same play, over and over again. I wouldn't do that, but he's had success.
Well, Carson probably thinks that too. I wouldn't do that.
But he's unorthodox. It doesn't make him, evil Doug.
No, but I don't think he's trying to be evil. I think he just speaks what's on his mind.
So you just think he is frustrated by him?
Yes. I don't think he hates Carson. I think he's just like, I don't know. I don't know why he's regressing. Because here's Doug. Okay. We always talk about how Doug gets, a little testy with the media. And he's a very, he likes to drop the whole I played football line. He likes to drop the I watched the tape as a head coach differently than you in the media. Like, he likes doing that a lot. And maybe Doug goes, well, I was able to win a Super Bowl with that guy. And I was able to then get back to the playoffs the following year with that guy. How come this guy can't do the things that I did with that guy? This guy is supposed to be a top pick. He was a second overall pick. But this guy can't have the same success as that guy, and that guy being Nick Foles. Maybe he feels that way. He's Mr. I know what I'm talking about, you don't. So maybe he goes, I was able to do the same things that I'm coaching now with Nick Foles to the point where we won the Super Bowl. Even though we all forget how well Carson played before the Super Bowl, obviously before he got hurt, but maybe that's what he feels. I don't know, Ant.
I don't believe in some game. But Mike, and it was interesting, he made for a compelling listen. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. It's illogical to do it. Why would you do that? Greg in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Greg. Greg's out. Let's go to Tim. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim, hey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I just want to get back to Carson's coachability. Okay. I know Jim Schwartz said, it's his fault, coachability, for the lack of execution for the defense as a whole. But when you're looking at one player, the quarterback, coachability has nothing to do with throws in the dirt at Deshaun's feet, balls sailing over Ertz's head, the interceptions, taking 8 sacks without getting rid of the ball. So I feel like Carson is to blame there. And my second point, what type of coachability is he getting from Doug? Let's go back to the Philly play in the Super Bowl. Foles runs to the sidelines. We need to get the score. Doug is looking at his play chart like it's a different language until Foles says, hey, why don't we try Philly? Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, so you're wondering what kind of coaching he's getting.
Right.
Right. And you're also wondering about his own coachability, which means, is he coachable or not?
I think they're both to blame. Yep.
That he's a stubborn kid who is pig-headed and type A type?
I think they're both on the hook, guys. I think the lack of execution is on Carson, and I don't think there's much coaching going on from Doug. I think they're both on the hook.
So I think you're right. I think I think there's always a portion where both of them have a degree of blame. And clearly, what's frustrating with Wentz, at least for me, is, like you point out, same mistakes. Like, you can't take that sack and push you out of field goal range, right? You can't take that sack. You got to throw the ball away. You can't make that throw on first down and get picked in the end zone. You can't do that.
I agree. And one more
and
point.
Then, real quick, it goes back to my point. Do you agree with me when it comes to Wentz? Is that he presses too hard to make a play. That he does not have sufficient enough weapons around him. And he presses and presses and tries so bad to make that play. And he wants to win so badly that he's his own worst enemy.
I think that's any elite quarterback. I mean, we've watched Brady turn no-name guys like Amendola and the receivers over there into superstars. He has DeSean Jackson, this great rookie in Rager. He has two.
He's not a great rookie. Stop.
Come on, Dave. Compared to the rookies we've had.
He's not a great rookie. He's not.
The speed.
You got to learn how to run around. I'm not saying he's not going to be good because he might be good.
Right.
But he's got one outside receiver right now. That I would trust.
Two of the top 5 tight ends in the league. That should help. Miles Sanders, a serviceable running back.
Who fumbled and put you in it? Listen, I like Miles Sanders.
Right.
But again, I don't think those, at least the weapons on the outside, are credible enough. They're not. Deshaun Jackson, but yet the coach didn't put him in a game plan for the first half.
I think he was hurt.
He wasn't hurt. He said he wasn't sore. Get out of here. Well, Timmy, how do you know that? Stop. I love you. Mm. I love you. Thanks, buddy. Take it easy. I think that dude just presses completely. And when you're talking about, everybody with Brady. He's not Brady. I agree.
Hey, that's the greatest quarterback of all time.
He's not Lamar Jackson or whatever. Not Russ. All right. But what I think he does is he presses. I think he's pressing grapes. He's making wine. He's just pressing.
And unfortunately, turning the team at times.
Yes. And I also think he gets little help as well.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I mean, we come back. I come back to it. again, it's the same thing. And people get weary of, well, he's got the weapons. He's got two to top. Well, first of all, they're tight ends. And neither of them are Kelce. So let's not overrate that all of a sudden Travis Kelce down the field. They're very good. They catch the ball. But they're not chunk guys, stretch the field guys. We'll see about Rager. But right now, you can't tell me he's some great rookie. I see great rookies.
Mm-hmm.
I watched DK Metcalf last year.
And he continued it.
I see Judy. Nice go. Judy's a player.
Yes, he is.
CD Lamb's a player. The kid in Vegas is pretty good, too.
I got two Phillies notes coming up for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
One good. One not so good.
No, I look forward to it. Let's talk a little Corporal Lee's Bakery and the tomato pie. So imagine that tomato pie. I say tomato pie, and you go, yeah, the tomato pie, huh? Yeah. It's in the oven at one of the Corporal Lee's Bakery's four locations. And you walk into one of the bakeries and you smell the baking crust, the tomatoes, the olive oil, all the spices, the dusting of cheese. And it just wafts in the air as you walk into the bakery. They have all the great goodies. They have four locations, the Corporal Lee's family, for your convenience. Norristown, Limerick, Audubon, and Douglasville. And those ovens, the bakery, they've been making that tomato pie since 1924. They've perfected the tomato pie recipe. The Corporal Lee's family has dedicated their lives to serving the highest quality tomato pies. And so they do it all. They have your event catered by Corporal Lee's Bakery and Deli. Your guests will be raving about the food, perfect for any gathering. Desserts, ridiculous. You're going to love them all, the great teams. Have a go-to guy when it comes to great tomato pie. Oh, my friends at Corporal Lee's Bakery and Deli, my go-to guy. See more at CorporalLeesBakery.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Oh, it's time for... Oh.
Yes.
No, it's time for the prize pool. The Fanatic Football Pool. Love the Fanatic Football Pool. This is pretty cool, man. All right, so we're adding all these prizes. You know, you got to listen four times a day. We've been telling you. All the guys here, 8 a.m., morning show, noon, with me, 4 with Mike, 8 with Devon. You're the fifth caller. You win $100 cash. You win a Benny from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then, as you know, you will ask a football question, easy trivia question. You get it right, you put your in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. Here you go. You ready for the goodies? $1,000 cash. Can't beat that. The fire pit, land is block and concrete. The Poolin' Pro PR-121-inch snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. And all kinds of other tchotchkes. You got the chips from hers. You got games and the gag gifts and all the good, all the little fun good stuff. It's all presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We will take the fifth caller right now. 215-263-0975. 215-263-0975. Fifth caller wins the bean and gets the question. Now back to the phone lines. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tone.
Good afternoon, Ann. How are you?
What's happening, Tone?
Oh, I just been watching these games, man. So do you firmly believe that Carson is the franchise QB, correct?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who is, if not him?
Well, correct. I mean, it ain't like they didn't give a lot up to get him.
Right. I don't know about ready to give up on him.
I'm not either. My whole thing is he was had an MVP season, had some injuries, you know, whatever. But I think a lot of it stems to what we all talk about, drafting. Me personally, I think, Roseman, you got to go. You missed too many good players. And I just don't think Doug's offense is set up for Carson. So if it were up to me, I might start thinking about saying sayonara to Doug, too. I might be overstepping, but, you know, that's just my thoughts on it. What are yours?
So, well, I'm not ready to move on from anybody right now. I don't think it's the time, nor do I think that they're going to move on from anybody either. I think you got to get everybody on the same page. You're right. They don't have sufficient. They haven't been sufficient drafts. They got to figure that piece out. I agree with you. But, you know, you got to get on the same page first. I don't know what the chasm is, what the disconnect is. But if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I don't stand for this. I go, yo, guys. Right?
Like, yeah, I don't either.
What's the beef here? Hey, you know, first I call Doug and I go, Doug, what's going on with the quarterback? Right? Like, well, tell me what's going on with the quarterback. Is he's frustrating you? He's not. What's he doing? Like, we got to get him right. I mean, that's got to be the first thing. They got to get him right.
Right, and you know, you can obviously tell he's pressing because he's trying to do everything. Well, you know, he hasn't had real good weapons the last, say, what?
Well, I agree with that. I do. I know people, you know, think it's an alibi. I think it's fact. You know, I
can't blame him for it.
I mean, quite frankly, they're not good enough. They're not good. Now, we'll see. You know, maybe they have used this draft to try to get better tone. But you're right. Right now, at this very moment in time, you're going to tell me that they're good enough, especially since the way he's used DeSean Jackson? He disappeared. He was on a milk carton in week one. And then he's not used until the second half of week two. And he's the best receiver they got by, you know, a long shot. So, Junis?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's I think Rager will get better each week. So I think he will get more help down the road. I don't know. It also goes to what is this offense? Right? Is Doug going to unleash Jalen Rager at some point? We saw that in week one, but it was not good timing to do that because Carson Wentz got sacked 8 times because you had 3/5 of your starting line missing because of injury. And then all of a sudden you have Carson Wentz dropping back to pass, 7-step drops, gets sacked 8 times. And then week two, it was the tight end show. At least he tried to for the first half. Then the second half, it was DeSean. I think Jalen Rager is going to get better each week. You know, a guy like John Hightower, I don't think is ready for this year, period. So hopefully down the road, Rager will be more of a help and it won't just be DeSean Jackson. And then you can start using both those outside receivers coupled out with the tight ends. But a guy like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he shouldn't be taking snaps from anybody anymore. I don't care if he's a quote unquote, you know, possession receiver. You can't be a receiver if you can't catch. You can't be a receiver if you can't get open. You can't care to be a receiver if you can't play. So hopefully down the road, Rager doesn't get loose snaps to him. Other than that, I mean, what? You got Greg Ward, who you can sometimes depend on very little.
Right, but that's not good enough.
No, it's not. I like Greg Ward, but I like Greg Ward. I'm not in love with Greg Ward.
Right. Right. So, again, once again, it's not an alibi, but it's a fact, right? Like, now, that's not an excuse for him to hold on to the ball and give up that sack and take him out of field goal range. That's not an excuse for him to throw the interception in the end zone. So I think we've pretty well established that there's blame all around. The story of today is what Mike Miss said yesterday. Michael said there's an orchestrated attempt, a coup, to try to get the quarterback out of here. And I just don't fathom it. I don't understand why you would do that. So that's what I want to talk about. Like today, I think we know that none of them are without blame.
Correct.
But is there really something going on? And I'm not saying there's no clues, right? I see the clues. But are they innocent? Or is it something nefarious? I don't think it's that.
I think there is something there, though.
You do. You agree with Mike.
Not to the point where I think they're trying to ruin this guy and get him out of here, but...
Well, not ruin him. They're not trying. It's not a smear campaign.
Yeah.
But...
He doesn't paint houses.
Right.
But when I hear Doug respond to the question of regression and he goes, oh, yeah, it's a great question. Like, dude, have your guys back.
Listen, I'm in the minority. Everyone believes that there is something shady there. Mark, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Marky. Hello, Mark. Mark, out. Not there. Let's go to Michael in the Northeast. Mike, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Carlos?
What's happening, Michael?
Oh, man, I'm not going to lie to you, brother. It's been tough, you know, watching all these
yes.
teams.
Raiders last night. That hurt.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some, like, the Cowboys win, you know what I mean? There's so much stuff going on, but give me a moment, man. I got so much stuff to say. But,
go ahead.
All right, first off, let me start with Doug. I mean, it starts with the head coach, right?
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have that personality. Like, he's just nice. You know, he's never, you never see him barking at anyone and all that kind of stuff. And he's always he has that look that he just thinks he's smarter than everyone. You know, I just feel he's, you know, and that nice guy thing only lasts so long, you know?
So what about that cut that we play all the time? Get your head out of your ass. What about that stuff? Do you buy he is? Because it seems like he's got the respect of the room, no?
Pull your head out of your ass!
I think he's sort of like, he needs that next guy, like when we had Malcolm, you know? But there's no leadership on the team. I mean, I don't see it, at least. And I expect it to come from, I mean, obviously the quarterback. And that's another big point I wanted to get at is I see no command from him. I'm a Carson guy. Uh-huh. I mean, I really, really am. I mean, I thought he was the truth, man. You know, I really, really thought.
So you don't believe he is anymore?
I mean, it's really, really starting to waver just because, all right, sure. There's a couple of things. First thing is when I see him drop back, he just looks flustered. You know what I mean? Like, I see no confidence in his eyes, his head movement, you know?
Uh-huh.
And even when he's looking around, like scanning the field, I feel like he's not really looking. He's just moving his head, you know? And he knows where he wants to go. He's just moving his head around. I don't see him commanding the huddle, commanding the line, telling people, guys, stop playing around. We're doing it right now. You know, like, I don't see any of that anymore. And, like, maybe I didn't see it before because he was just making amazing plays before, but I need that leadership from him. You know, we're going into the latter part of his career now. This is probably, you know, going into the second half of his career. I still kind of feel like he's, in my head, kind of think of him as, oh, you know, he's a young guy, but he really isn't anymore. He should be leading the group, you know?
Right.
And his mental state right now is just so weak that I saw it during the game.
Is it weak or is it over-the-top pressing?
I mean, it's a little bit of both, because he's definitely pressing. No, everyone on earth can see that.
Right.
But during the game last week, I saw him. His confidence came down. And then after, like, the third, fourth drive, he started scoring. His confidence went skyrocketed to the point where he thought he could
throw a laser like, you know, right. He was Brett Favre or something, you know?
Right.
Like when your confidence in yourself, you know, the baseline thing that yeah. you're down is low, someone telling you, oh, great job, you're going to go up. You're going to have, you know, your confidence right. going to skyrocket, but then it's going to go up and down.
So you think too manic that yeah. he's too manic. He's up, and then he's slumping.
Yeah, I mean, because he truly doesn't have that confidence in himself, and I don't think he gets it from Doug. I just, you know, I'm really, really worried, man.
You're right to be worried. Like, we all had a certain expectation of who Carson was and or is supposed to be, and he's shaking everybody. I mean, I love the kid too, like you. I'm a Carson guy. I root for him. I think he's got tremendous arm talent, and I still believe he can be a franchise quarterback. But yeah, I mean, I see what you see, and that interception and taking those sacks is inexcusable for this time of his career. I agree with that.
Yeah, I feel like all of these things that we're talking about, Carson, are things in the first 2-3 years of a quarterback's career that we can talk about. And yeah.
Well, I think there's extenuating circumstances, and it's not a pass; it's just a fact, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think he got over the whole Foles winning the Super Bowl.
Definitely,
and maybe that whole thing came from the college thing. It came where the backup won the championship. Quarterback. There, you know, back then.
Yeah, I mean, one more thing. And the Eagles aren't doing Carson any favors with personnel, with anything.
I agree.
He's a deep ball thrower. He's a make-a-play guy. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I do. He needs outside guys. He's always craved outside guys. He needs a more imaginative offense. I agree with you. Thanks, Michael. Listen, have a great day, brother. We appreciate it. Time now to play the football pool. Oh, yeah. I love it.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
All right. Let us meet our contestant. And he's a good caller. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Echo Lenny.
What's up, boys?
What's happening? Echo Lenny and Lenny.
I know. I got to start it out with an Eagles chant. That's why we're losing.
Do it.
E-I-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Echo Lenny, that was incredible.
Go Bears.
Echo Lenny, who is coming true to his nickname right there, has won $100. From Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Now, Echo Lenny.
Come on, give me an easy one.
I see the question, and it's an easy question.
Is it multiple?
I have all the yes, it is, and I have all the faith that you will get this correct. Now, should you get it correct, you will be in the running. You'll be in the drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything inside. What's your favorite item? The $1,000 cash?
I don't know. I kind of like the $1,000 cash. That fire pit sounds pretty nice.
Fire pit rules, man. Yeah, I agree.
I want to check out this bobblehead. I haven't seen what it looks like. I heard it's pretty nice.
Yeah, you got all kinds of goodies. All right, here's the question. Without further ado, on September 3rd, 2000, the Eagles defeated this team in the famous pickle juice game by drinking pickle juice to avoid heat cramps. Was the opponent A, the Giants, B, the Cowboys, C, the Packers?
I'm going to have to say B.
Who?
B, the Cowboys?
B, the Cowboys?
Yeah!
Correctamundo. Don't you remember the heat? Searing heat in Dallas at the old Texas Stadium. And the Eagles went Deuce Staley. And the onside kick to start the game.
Yes, I remember. I drink pickle juice with my Jameson. Picklebacks.
There you go. The picklebacks with your J-Mo. You got to love that. Echo Lenny, hold on. You are in the running. That's right. Echo Lenny is in the running. He has won $100, and he's now in the running for the grand prize, $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The Tony Hawk Pro Skater, the year supply from Hers Snack Foods, a talking teddy bear, a fire pit that he said, the Godfather trivia game, Peter LaViolette autographed mini helmet, the snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons, all the goodies. All presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Remember the pickle juice game?
Yes, I do. It was one of the playbacks. I was trying to find the intro, but I forget what day we did it all. We did many playbacks.
Rick Burkhalter, the trainer then.
Yes.
Rick was a great dude. He is now in Kansas City with Andy, very close to Andy. Rick, it was Rick's idea to use the pickle juice.
Good work out of Rick.
And it was such a thing, the pickle juice, that the following week, because Deuce ran for over 200 yards.
Right.
It's a great, amazing, amazing game. They had pickle juice water ice. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
The pickle juice water ice.
I'm not a big pickle juice guy.
I like the pickle juice. It's salt.
I did the shots.
You do the pickle back on the JMO?
So, my buddies brought it for the, or they didn't bring it. So we did the bachelor party, right? And we got it at a couple, had a few at a bar, and they were good. It was like an infused pickleback shot, so that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So we got back to the Airbnb that we were at, and at this point, we're all toasted. So they walked to the closest Rite Aid where there was pickle juice, and they tried making their own, and it didn't go well. Those are probably the worst thing I ever. Wow,
really?
Yeah, dude, it was disgusting. It was like warm because the pickle wasn't in the fridge.
You need the pickle.
I was like, guys, we
can't do the warm pickle.
No, do one with us. Do one with us. It's like, I don't like them to begin with, but let alone them being warm.
No, you can't do.
It was almost like a quick. I kept it down.
Did you?
Yeah, but it was gross, man.
Yeah, that's not good. The warm pickle juice.
No, you want some Phillies notes?
Yes.
JT Realmuto.
You're dying.
Expect to catch today for the Phillies in game one.
JT back. It's big, brother.
Yeah, Joe Girardi said that on the MLB Network radio, so he's expected to play game one. They probably won't have him play game two for obvious reasons. But they're going to see how he feels tomorrow. He may not catch tomorrow, but he may DH tomorrow or maybe even play first base. But JT Realmuto back in the lineup today for game one. Spencer Howard had a bullpen session, and they think he could actually pitch in the final series out of the bullpen. So his season doesn't look to be done, so that's a good sign for your fighting Phillies as well.
All right.
But then one negative note, and Scott Kingery is chasing history, like the Phillies bullpen is chasing history. Of course, you know former Phillies great Ted Kaczynski of the 1954 Phils. It's been 66 years since a player has hit below 150 with at least 100 plate appearances.
Mm.
Scott Kingery is right around there right now.
Damn.
He's batting 147. He also has...
That's pretty bad, because
14 hits to 27 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's...
So he made double his strikeout total over his hits, and he's currently batting below 150 with over 100 plate appearances, which hasn't happened since the great utility infielder Ted Kaczynski of 1954.
That's not good.
Gave him that big contract, though, right?
That's not good. Yep. All right, we'll come back in just a moment. Run through your calls. We also have the playback looming. Now, I know you don't want to relive it, but I do think it's important to hear it, to continue to dissect it. All hands on deck. We need everybody. Cuz Radio Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
And Andrew South Tunis here. By now, you've heard all about FanDuel Sportsbook, their world-class sports betting app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets with some of the best odds you'll find anywhere. There's constant enhanced odds boosts, and they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. That's $1,000. And FanDuel is providing customers the opportunity to double up your winnings through their exclusive NFL NBA and NHL double-ups. You got to check out the NBA Final Baskets Bonus. You place a money line wager, and if the last score of the game is a three, you double your winnings. So if you like L.A. tonight against Denver, you pick L.A., and if the last basket is a three, your winnings double. That's amazing. And make sure you get in on the football action as well. The NFL also has a double-up bonus. If you pick a team on the money line, they score 35-plus points. Like if you did that with Green Bay last week, you would double your winnings. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started, and be sure to sign up with promo code FANATIC. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code FANATIC. Must be 21 or older, present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 12:30 playback time. Every Tuesday we do the playback. This is going to be a tough one, but you guys can handle it. We need you to focus on it, to come up with some wisdom for me. All right, let's begin. Oh, the Cougs. Kevin Kugler. Yeesh. On the call for Fox with Chris Spielman. Here we go. Something has been looked over because Doug Peterson's play calling and Carson Wentz's play. Terrible way to start the game. And here is Miles Sanders fumbling on the third play from scrimmage.
On first down at the 35, Sanders again. And Sanders coughs up the football. And the Rams have it.
Yeah, not good. Now Rams offense, and then we hear what Jim Schwartz was talking about. Right? We start with a first down, Goff to Kupp.
Now Goff on first down, finds Kupp over the middle. A lot of room to roam for Kupp as he's upended at the 26-yard line by Marcus Epps.
Check with the bootleg looking as they're going hurry up, and you hit the tight end just sitting right down inside.
So it's third down, and Eagles trying to make a stop to just get out with just a field goal. Nah.
Goff on third down to the sideline. Catch is made by Van Jefferson. And the rookie from Florida has a first down near the 43-yard line.
Woods, Kupp, Van Jefferson. Or Jackson, Rager, Whiteside.
Whiteside alone, you lose.
On the fifth play of that drive, the Rams are on the goal line. And here's Tyler Higbee.
Second and goal, play action, Goff to the air, Goff to the end zone for Tyler Higbee, and a Rams touchdown.
So we had blown coverages last week by the Eagles down in the red zone. Ilan Mills on a blitz right here. Now you have to be able to combo coverage with those other remaining defenders, and Nathan Gary gets caught up in the wash, and he's too late to get to Tyler Higbee.
Nate or Nathan, which one are you going by these days?
White Snake.
All right, thanks, Whitesnake. Eagles make it 7-3, but the Rams right back down the field. This time, Goff gets help from that rookie out of Florida, the Gator. Van Jefferson makes a great sliding catch for 21 yards, a big chunk play. Because the Eagles receivers, I see it all the time, the great sliding catches they make.
What?
Kupp in motion. Off play action. Goff going up top to the sideline. Sliding attempt by Van Jefferson. Pulls it in at the four. It's first and goal.
Good field awareness by Van Jefferson. Beautiful. Getting that knee down. Hip down. Well done.
That's right. Has Arcega Whiteside made it play like that?
No.
No. Nah.
He's still under his mom's umbrella on the sideline of practice.
Right. A few plays later, Rams on the goal line again. They're creative this time. An end around to Robert Woods.
End around to Woods, and Robert Woods will walk in for the touchdown. Rams wide receivers led the league with 30 carries a year ago. Their second carry this year put six on the board.
How about coaches getting in zones and being able to run this play, knowing that they're a big man-to-man team?
Yeah, yeah. Good play. Good play call by Sean McVay, but you think you don't like him.
Nah, he's a bum.
Eagles go three and out, and then Rams back down the field. Inside the five, Goff back to Higbee.
Goff throwing. Higbee with the catch, leaning for the goal line touchdown. Tyler Higbee, his second of the afternoon.
Higbee's just going to release right to the flat. Mikel Roby Coleman is going to be out there, excuse me, the other way, but his eyes got caught a little bit inside and he was fooling around with another inside receiver.
And the boos came out. Oh, they're the robot boos. The bot boos from Fox. Remember the second round draft pick? That quarterback named Jalen? Well, he was on the field for two plays on Sunday. Here is one of them. The fake to Hurts and the throw to Goddard for 10.
Hurts will take the snap here on first down. Rather, Wentz takes the snap, Hurts off to his side, and Wentz over the middle. And they use Hurts as a decoy. We saw this in the red zone at practice on Friday, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and no. Isn't that what Doug said?
Yes.
Did the front office force you to play, Taylor? No, and no. Give the Eagles, well, by the way, they get to the goal line. And give Carson credit because, you know, I'll sneak it for you.
And Wentz will sneak and Wentz into the end zone for the touchdown.
It's a nice job by Kelce. Kelce right here. He's going to end up back here. But Carson with that big 6'5" body and that strength. See, Kelce? He got enough penetration.
Give Eagles O-line credit after allowing 8 sacks in week one. They didn't allow a single sack in week two. The only sack of the game, in fact, came right here. Brandon Graham. It's a big third down late in the second quarter. BG, hungry.
We'll listen for the roar from the offensive lineman. Nope, it's quiet. It's a pass. Goff in trouble, and Goff goes down. The sack for Brandon Graham. Welcome back to the lineup. For Brandon Graham, the 11th-year man out of Michigan, had a concussion last week.
It's assist from Fletcher Cox right here. Brandon Graham, he's going to come here, take up defenders, leaving a free path for Brandon Graham.
All right, Eagles do nothing on offense after forcing the Rams to punt, but the break came that they needed. Cooper Kupp stripped, fumble, recovery.
They've got 1:01 and 2 timeouts to work with. As Cameron Johnson will punt it to Cooper Kupp. Sky high monster punt. Kupp fields it at the 4. Cooper Kupp balls out, fumbles the football, scooped up at the 11-yard line. Eagles have it at the 11. Bradley was down there.
It's ball security, right? TJ comes in and puts that helmet with a good wrap and strips the ball out of there.
Two plays later, Miles Sanders crashes into the end zone.
And on second down, it's Sanders again. Sanders into the end zone for an Eagle touchdown.
Watch this job by Lane Johnson, which allows the double team to get up to the linebacker. That's why nobody touched Miles Sanders. You see that little swing of the hips by Lane Johnson? That's so good. Now, it goes back to where you don't have to be a devastating blocker to be an effective blocker.
That was a great block by Lane Johnson. Quick, I mean, the athleticism to angle in from the right tackle spot and seal off the block was great athleticism from Lane Johnson. All right, so down 21-17. All right, like, you know, I remember thinking, you know, they got life now. They got momentum. Rams start the second half. They go 3 and out. Now they're starting to feel good. And the Eagles are motoring down the field. It's first down in Rams territory. And this is the play that has us all messed up.
Once down 21-3 in this game. Wentz off play action looking for the end zone, and it's intercepted. Darius Williams with a diving pick in front of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. The turnover in the end zone, and what a pick for Darius Williams to turn the Eagles away.
Ah, horrible. Horrid.
Wasn't even that great of a pick, to be honest.
No, it was horrible. It was a horrible play. And that changed it all. Now the Rams go right down the field. 40-yard run by Darrell Henderson chugging.
Henderson on first down. Big hole. And Henderson into the secondary. And Henderson into the clear. Chased down from behind by Darius Slay. And the ball out, but down at the 35-yard line.
Job again about this wall. We've talked about it all day. And Henderson seeing that little hole right there, just enough. And who's getting the big block? Higbee. Not only does he catch passes, he cuts off McLeod.
Yeah, speaking of Higbee, how about number three?
Second down after the penalty, play action. Goff with time. Goff with Higbee open in the end zone. Touchdown, Rams. Number three today for Tyler Higbee.
Nathan Gary's going to get caught up right here with Higbee. And this is a throwback. And we talk, everything's off the same look, right? This is a throwback bootleg. Nathan Gary was caught.
White Snake.
I'm waiting for the song.
White Snake.
That would be three. Then, to make things worse, Eagles turn it over on downs. And Darrell Henderson running amok.
First and goal at the two. Henderson with the carry. Fighting for the goal line. And he's in for the touchdown. And the Rams have likely just salted away a 2-0 start with a win on the road.
And, yeah, that's a touchdown to me. You know who they used as a used block or a lead blocker there? How about number 17, Robert Woods? I don't know if I would use Robert in that role, but that's part of playing wide receiver for the Rams.
Yeah, thanks, dude. One more play, you might as well play it. The second pick by Carson.
Their first 0-2 start under head coach Doug Peterson. Wentz flushed, sidearm toss, and that one almost intercepted, or is it picked off? They're going to call it an interception by Troy Hill, diving for it at the 41-yard line, and the Rams have the football.
His body across the field. Usually bad things happen when you do that.
Thanks, Cougs. Here it is, the playback. The disaster is, you know, I don't know what I learned other than they were completely, Schwartz was right. Like, they just got pasted. And they all were at fault.
Even the White Snake.
Even the White Snake.
After he made his snake symbol.
Yeah.
After one tackle. I don't need that, dude. I mean, you don't allow three touchdowns later. It's like Mills when the ball's overthrown by 10 yards.
Yeah.
And he does the finger wag.
Yeah.
Some of these guys on defense celebrate nothing.
Yeah, I hear you, bro. I hear you. Back to the phones we go. Nikki, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Nikki.
Gentlemen, how we doing?
What's happening, Nick?
I'm gonna try and stay positive, fellas. First of all, how's the wives and families, gentlemen?
Good. Thank you, brother.
Good. Glad to hear that. And just want to let you know that Clintac just sent his thank you card and a personal check from his $1 million bank account to Jeffrey. So the Phillies stay off the front page. And out of our, and thank you so much for the Raiders last night, and you know, outright and over. We appreciate the inside information. So speaking of Raiders, can I get? I saw the play calling, and I would say we have either slightly more talent or the same talent as the Raiders on offense, and a slightly better quarterback. And I think the Goff McVay team might be slightly better than the Eagles offensively,
but can I get some of that play calling? Like, can I just get 7 to 10
plays? Chunas doesn't like Gruden.
What's that?
Chunas doesn't like Gruden.
Overrated.
Well, all right. Well, let me ask you a question. Did that offense look more interesting than ours last night?
Yeah, it was all right.
back to you, Ant. I mean, seriously, like those wide pitches.
He doesn't like McVay. He doesn't like Gruden.
I get that too. I understand that. But that doesn't mean they can't. Even blind squirrels are white several times a day. But in this case, these two squirrels seem like they have much better play calling and much better cynicism than we do here in Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, that's all I want.
I know.
Why would I bank on the Eagles when Cincinnati's going to have 10 days off? Okay. And I don't know who Zach Taylor is. I don't know Zach Taylor from James Taylor, from Taylor Swift, from any Taylors. But I'm thinking he's looking at what the Eagles did the first 2 weeks and goes, I can implement some of this Washington / Rams offensive. I can maybe pull 5 to 7 plays out of there and use those plays.
I mean, they do have a good offense, right? Like, put it this way. They have some skill people, and they have the kid at quarterback.
Right.
The issue, now this is where Jim's front has to control the game. Or else they're going to lose, right? Yeah. Like, you can't lose. You're a 6.5-point favorite. Your back's against the wall. I mean, you're going to win the game, right?
What? Excuse me? The cellular service is glitched out for a second. What did you say?
You're going to win the game, right?
Is this a week 1 phone call? I heard that week 1. Is this a week 2 phone call? I heard that week 2.
Yeah.
This is the Chip Kelly final season. This is I hate to say it, unfortunately. This is the Chip Kelly. Vegas was always picking Chip and the Birds because they made the playoffs twice in a row. Every week they were 7 points, 6.5-point favorites. They were going on the road in tough divisional games, being 4.5-point favorites. Now, this is the Chip Kelly season, unfortunately. I hate to say it, man.
So you think they could lose to Cincinnati outright?
I think that it's going to be a couple plays whether we win or lose that game. Look.
Yeah, listen, I can see it being close. I can see Eagles winning like 24-20 or something along those lines. 20, I think it'll be a little higher scoring. But I can see I can see that. They do have 10 days to prepare, but that team, first of all, the defense is not good in Cincinnati. Second of all, you saw the protection issues that they had against Cleveland.
I did. But listen, it's surprising what 10 days does in the NFL. Now, again, I don't know who Zach Taylor is. He was basically an assistant to an assistant to an assistant at Texas Tech, you know, in the beginning of the summer, basically. I mean, he really hasn't been in the NFL that long.
No, listen, Nikki, I get you. And always, you're the man. Enjoy the wine. Thank you, brother. There's no excuse to you got to win. Now, again, I wouldn't lay the 6.5.
Nope.
But, I mean, that's still a team that was wretched last year.
Yep.
I love Joe Burrow. And you saw, though, they're having trouble protecting the kid.
Yes. Joe, he got hit. It seemed like every other play during that Cleveland Browns game.
So I
got
to believe that the Eagles front makes hay, no?
And let's face it, the Cincinnati Bengals defense, it's not that good. I mean, Baker Mayfield put up, what, 30, 35 against that team?
Right. He destroyed that team.
And I get it. They have Odell Beckham Jr., but he really only made one big play. It was a touchdown, but he really only made one play. So the Eagles offense should put up points against the Bengals secondary.
Well, that's my point. Like, I wouldn't lay it, but if you told me pick a side with, you know, your money, I would lay it then.
Yeah. Could be an overpiece.
I do think it's
where they score and the Eagles defense, unless they have things figured out.
I think Schwartz will have a better plan. I think they kind of play into Schwartz's system here. I think young quarterback, tough protecting them. And I love Joe. But all that stuff comes to play and they get a lot of pressure.
So you're talking me into laying it. You're talking me into it.
Well, I think they. You're asking me what I think. I think they win.
Yeah, I think so too. But you're right. I think this Eagle. I don't think the Bengals secondary is anything to write about. I think they stink, to be honest. And maybe Jim does design a game plan where they all come back. Burrow gets sacked 5 times. And we're feeling good again. Going into a banged up San Francisco 49ers team.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you.
2-2.
I'm not spinning nickels on my forehead because they beat the Bengals.
2-2. 14-2.
Listen. If you're 3-3, then you talk to me.
Okay.
All right, let's talk a little DraftKings, shall we? Week 2 of the football season's in the books. No better place to get in all the Week 3 action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of Week 3, DraftKings Sportsbook giving all new users the chance to turn a dollar into $100 when they bet on any team. That's right. You can place a $1 bet on any team. If that team wins, you're going to cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use code FANATIC when you sign up. You got this can't-miss offer. Pick any team during Week 3. Bet a buck, and you can win $100 if they win. It's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code FANATIC during sign-up for limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. DraftKings Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Pull your head out of your ass!
Who's that for, Judas?
Probably himself.
Interesting dialogue all day today. Talking a lot about this belief that's out there that there is a coup against the quarterback. That the coach and GM or whatever, that there is this thing that the quarterback, an orchestrated effort, anti-quarterback. I don't believe it. I really don't believe it. My father checks in. Soon as he says, look back dispassionately. Think about it. Doug was really never on board with Carson. I don't know about that. I don't know that you can say that.
You can't say from the very beginning.
Right, like what's not to like about Wentz and a franchise quarterback? You remember the first year and Jason Peters fell in love with him. He's running around. He's smacking people on the butt. And we're going to do this next year. And he comes out of the gates. I don't think that's the case.
I'm telling you.
I don't think that there's some conspiracy, great conspiracy theory. I mean, a great conspiracy happening. And my father said, yes, it's Doug is leading the conspiracy. I'm like, nah, man, I don't buy it. I know Mike Miss does. He was talking about it yesterday. I just don't think it makes sense. It doesn't make football sense. Go ahead. Tell me I'm wrong, Andrew.
I don't think there's this big conspiracy that they're trying to get him out of here. But I do think there's something there about their relationship. And I do think there is something there with Doug Peterson, who is Mr. Hey, you know, I'm the head coach. I played in this league. You didn't. You know, I watched the tape.
Right, he didn't play in the league either. Why you can't a couple of games you started?
But
wait for Donovan.
In his press conferences, you hear him say that stuff, right? Like,
right.
I played in the league. You didn't. I'm a head coach. You're not. I watch film a certain type of way. You don't.
Right.
I think he also feels that way going, I did it with this guy in Nick Foles. How come I can't do it with this guy? What's this guy's problem? Not what's my problem trying to figure out a best offense for Carson. I think he goes, I did it with this guy who's a backup. How come I can't do it with that guy who is a number two overall pick, who was given the keys to the city after a rookie season where they went 7-9? I feel like Doug feels a certain type of way.
Wait a second. He did it with what guy? He did it because all the stars aligned.
Yeah, but he won't look at it that way. He'll look at it as, look at these great plays I called. Look at this game plan I had.
Okay, he's a genius.
It worked. He probably thinks that. He is a I know more than you do kind of guy. He loves bringing that up.
But that is born out of insecurity. Only insecure people say that. That's the truth.
Yeah.
If you're insecure, you talk about your resume all the time.
You pump yourself up a little bit.
And you say, well, you never did that. I did. Well, what's that? Like, why are you making it a Johnson contest on a news conference?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's something.
That's an insecure man.
And maybe he is. And he goes, why would you think that I can't do something with Carson? I was able to do it with Nick Foles. But I think he blames Carson. Secretly, he feels a certain type of way about Carson because he was able to do it with the guy who was a backup, not only in Philadelphia, but then went on to be a backup, got his job taken from Gardner Minshew, is a backup to Mitch Trubisky, and he goes, look, this guy's been passed over multiple times. I was able to win with him. They can't. I was able to win with him, but I can't with Carson. So it's Carson's fault. I think there's something there. Which is why he goes, oh, that's a great question. Why is he regressing? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't believe in the conspiracy. I don't believe that there's some orchestrated attempt. I think Doug is clumsy. I don't think...
He's clumsy. He says what's on his mind. And I think that's on his mind. I go... Ever since the Jadeveon Clowney hit and he didn't have his back, I felt a certain type of way about that relationship.
Yeah, listen.
Yesterday didn't help. Sunday didn't
help. I listened. Ty's nodding his head. And I listened all day yesterday. And I thought it was a fascinating discussion that Mikey had and Ty, that you guys had. I did. I brought it up today. I did. But it makes, here's my problem. Ty, jump on for a sec. Because I enjoyed that conversation. Here's my problem. Is it makes no football sense to try to get the quarterback out of here. What football sense does it make? Right? Does it make any football sense? It doesn't make football sense to me.
It makes football sense if they're ready to move on.
It doesn't make, that doesn't make football sense. Ready to move on to who?
To Hurts. They know he's not ready yet. Okay. This is more what I mean. Carson's played bad. You've said it. I know Andrew said it. The whole radio station, we're not blind. He's played poorly. At the same time, you can either help him when he's doing badly or you can throw him to the wolves. It looks like to me, so far, they've thrown him to the wolves. So if you really want, if you love the guy and you want to support him and you want, because...
I'm not saying he loves the guy.
I'm saying that if you're talking about football sense, wouldn't it make sense to get some things going to help him versus what they've done? The zero deep shots, for example. So you throw too many week one.
Because that's Peterson's ineptitude.
Right. And I think
he's doing that on purpose?
What I mean is that he didn't really take...
Listen.
He coached differently with Foles. And it was very paint by numbers.
Again, that was three games.
It was
three games. One to one game, it was a disaster up until the end. And the ball goes off the knee, and then you had two games.
The Atlanta game, Nick Foles' first half, was one of the worst first halves I've ever seen a quarterback play.
Like, you know what? You're going to make a career out of two games offensively?
I think that he connected with them personally in some way. I think the organization.
It was Villanova beating Georgetown in 1985.
Right. If there was a shot clock, Villanova loses by 18. But there's no shot clock. The stars aligned, kind of like the Nick Foles thing. The stars aligned.
Maybe if Belichick starts his corner, his only defensive player, maybe they, you know, God forbid, we don't win that Super Bowl.
Right, stars aligned. But what I'm saying is, I don't know if it's a conspiracy so much of the coach says, I'm done with this guy. I know we have contractual situations.
How in the world can you be done with this guy? That makes no sense. When you look at the, like, here's the thing. When you make the throw, Ty, to Deshaun from the other hash.
Yeah, that's a throw. That's the hardest throw in football.
Exactly.
On the left hash, throwing that deep out to the right hash is the hardest throw in football.
By the way, he did it three times Sunday.
Yes. Yes. And we're focused on the misses. And I think he's focused on the negative. And when you don't like a guy, you focus on the negative. When you like a guy, you focus on the positives.
What?
And I don't think he likes him. And I think he focuses on the misses.
School?
In some ways, yeah. You know how these NFL coaches are, some of them. My way or the highway. They're very petty. In fact, they're able to be children. They're in charge, but they're able to be petty like that. Belichick still acts like a child half the time. He's the best. He's maybe the best to ever live. And he's still a child half the time.
Yeah, but he's right.
Right, but the way you go about it. We know Carson hasn't been good. We know the city has acknowledged that there's not a single human walking around pretending Carson's played well. But the question is, do you believe...
You're telling me that Doug Peterson in two games has made up his mind that he's done with Wentz.
I believe that decision was made last season. And everything that happened in the offseason is a reflection on a decision that's already been made.
So... See, to me, they draft Hurts because they want to stockpile that position. And they want to go, look at this. I got draft capital. I got insurance policy. I backed up the most important position in football.
And I think they said, I don't want to win with this guy. We're going to get young receivers who aren't ready yet. But by the time my quarterback's ready, the receivers will be ready. It'll be Rager and Hightower outside by the time Hurts is the starter. Okay, and they'll be ready to play.
But this is what I want to say. Mikey chimes in and Mike says... It makes sense that Doug knows he's safe and Howie knows he's safe, so they have time to go with the shiny new Lamar Jackson toy within the next 2 years.
Yep.
He ain't Lamar Jackson. If you watched him, he's nowhere close to Lamar Jackson.
Well, I think Mike and I agree with you on how good he really is. I don't think he's ready to play. I don't think Howie knows. I definitely don't think Doug knows.
In Alabama. He goes to Oklahoma where nobody plays defense except for one team.
Right.
And
wide open field. He didn't have to make pro reads. That's why he's not ready to play.
And he's not fair. He's not. He don't move like Lamar.
No. He moves closer to how Carson used to move. Then he moves like Lamar. But.
He's not even that quick.
But I think that's what they want. I'm serious. And I don't think it's a conspiracy so much of we've made this decision. We can't make it public. We can't talk about it publicly.
I think it's just, if that's the case, then the emperor wears no clothes. Or both of them.
Well.
And then they're two flaming imbeciles who should never be in the NFL again. If what you're saying, that they've made up their mind that Wentz is, that we're done with Wentz, then they shouldn't even watch football, let alone coach it and draft it.
I agree with you. But okay. But what you could do is it's only Tuesday. How about Thursday or Friday? On your own, write down 10 things you would do. 5 things you would do if you were in charge to help the quarterback. And then we'll watch the game on Sunday, a game they should win, and see if they do any of those 5 or 10 things. I bet you they do none of them.
Well, I did. For last week, there was a million ways to negate pressure against Washington. What you do? Hey, let's start with the only credible. Let me ask you a question. Because I saw Van Jefferson make plays.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The kid from Florida.
Yeah.
For the Rams.
Yeah.
And they also got, I don't know, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods.
Yep.
But, I don't know, Deshaun Jackson, is there anybody, am I missing anybody other outside receiver?
No, that's the only one that knows how to play. That's why, unfortunately, Alshon the Snitch has to come back.
And so you only play him You run plays in the second half?
Right, you don't run anything for him.
So is that on purpose?
Yes.
No.
Okay. No, the only time the quarterback looked good. All right. The only time the quarterback looked good was throwing to who? This season.
Deshaun.
The only time
he's
good.
Because he's the only outside receiver any good.
All right. So therefore, he needs to play. I understand. When Alshon comes back, when the kids, I believe that Rager has some ability. Maybe by week 12, 13, he'll be able to help you more than he can now. Use him more now. Get your quarterback comfortable because he's the guy he's comfortable throwing to. And then later on in the year, if you have to back off, you back off later. Yeah. And you have Alshon back and you have the kids a little bit more developed. But to come out to shoot the way they have, that's a slap in the quarterback's face because he's not comfortable throwing to these other guys. He hates throwing. You can tell he's not comfortable throwing to those guys.
It's idiotic to expect him without a preseason to be on the same page with those kids. They're green to begin with. Hightower needs to learn how to run a route. Rager's still learning. He's trying to figure things out. He's 5-0, and he's trying to figure stuff out, right? Like, oh, my God. If you and Mike are right, then this whole thing is a disaster. You want to talk about Rome is burning? Novacare is burning.
Well, I love you, man. And I hope you're right because it would be better for all Eagles fans. But on this particular case, I think that you
think I'm naive.
A little bit.
Okay.
In this particular case.
Well, I appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, but I hope I'm wrong.
Listen, I enjoyed you and Mike yesterday. I did. I'm dubious because I would hope that Doug and Howie aren't that stupid. That's what I would hope.
I hope so, too.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Greg, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Greg.
Did you happen to catch the pregame show with D-Gun and Devon and D-West?
I love the pregame show, but I didn't see it. I didn't hear it this week.
Well, D-West dropped the bomb, which I thought came out of left field, but he said that Carson is not very good at pre-snap reads, which, you know, if that's true, and I certainly would trust B. West, his judgment over mine, but that would explain why the quick strike throws are not being successful that much, and it would explain why Carson looks a little befuddled as he's dropping back, you know, not knowing where to go. If he doesn't know where the hot read is because he doesn't know where the pressure is coming from, then that's a problem. And if B. West knows that, maybe Doug knows that, and that's the problem. I mean, I don't want to
I respect and trust B. West to the utmost. I mean, I don't know. I never thought of that. I mean, I can't believe that the kid who goes in there every day at 6 o'clock in the morning doesn't have a clue what he's looking at. You telling me he's a dope? Is that what I'm hearing? That Wentz is now an idiot and he can't figure out where to go with the football? Because I don't believe that.
I didn't say that, but B. West said that. I mean,
I don't know. Listen, I love B. West, Greg. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I can't tell you. Other than all I know is that I talk to people and see and feel. But B. West is B. West, so I trust B. West. Is he done? What did he say? He's got no clue what he's looking at?
He said he's not very good at pre-snap reads.
At knowing where the pressure's coming from?
Right. So, you know, that means he doesn't know, where.
Listen, I don't know, Greg, but I'm dubious.
Well, I was too.
I love B. West, but I don't care if Vince Lombardi comes back from the grave. I got to see it. Like I question that.
I don't know enough football to know. I
Well, I do. I got to question that. I don't think the quarterback's a dope. So, you know, what I think, and I'll say for the 50th time, is that he presses. Not that he doesn't know what he's looking at. Is that he so presses so hard. And he tries too hard. And he presses. And he's got to make a play. I got to make a play. That's what I believe. I can't believe that dude's dope. I don't believe it. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Anthony.
Hi, Mark.
Where to begin? Listen, I'm a Carson Wentz fan, and I believe he'll turn it around. I mean, he struggled for times every year, and he turns it around. But I'll tell you something. Ron Jaworski would not have been the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles if Dick Vermeil treated him the same way that Doug does. I've never seen a coach every week throw a quarterback under the bus. It's incomprehensible to me.
Is he really doing that, or is he doing it?
He does it. He does it by he's passive aggressively doing it.
Is it that, or is he just kind of not the greatest? He's clumsy at the news conference.
I'll give you an example: the difference between this Eagles team and 2017. If Carson Wentz threw that ball in 2017. The defense would have picked him up, and they would have got the ball back again, not at a 45-yard gash as soon as that play went down.
I don't know.
Let me give you another.
My head's spinning, man. There's a conspiracy against the quarterback.
No, it's not a conspiracy. It's the way he treats them.
He doesn't like them.
No, I don't even know if it's that.
We're talking about grade school stuff? I mean, what are we serious? This is a business.
Nah. I'll give you an example. If Alshon Jeffrey runs the play that Whiteside runs, I guarantee you that may have been a touchdown. Whiteside ran a terrible route. He didn't sell it to the outside. The guy jumped him, and Carson made the play. But if Alshon runs the same route...
I don't disagree with that. But here's the problem for Wentz. You can't throw it, and you can't throw it on first down, and you got to know who you're throwing to.
I got you, but it's like the same thing with these hot reads. How many times have I seen a blitz come, and nobody's a hot read? Nobody's crossing the middle and giving him somebody to throw to.
Yeah, well, when you have who you're throwing to.
Well, I have no disagreement with there. My next point, defensively, this is where I'm worried. And I like Fletcher Cox, but to me now he's become a rotational player. He's not Fletcher Cox anymore.
But here's the thing. I've seen him be quiet and then he goes on a tear for 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, but I'm afraid I'm hoping that happens again. Maybe we get Hargrave back. Maybe that changes, I'm not hopeful. I got to watch Gary be two steps behind every receiver.
He's terrible. I mean, let's be real. I mean, their linebackers are just horrid. They're horrid, their linebackers.
And whose fault is that? That's, the front office.
Yes.
They don't believe, and Schwartz.
Well, yeah, but it's more the front office because you give Schwartz, less than credible linebackers. Thank you, Marky. Appreciate it. You guys are really interesting. Again, it's a good dialogue for sure. Sobering. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunis. Let's talk Parks, shall we? Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Here we go. The sports betting risk-free. How about this? This is a big offer from Parks. Your first bet is risk-free up to $500. So go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic. Got to be 21, got to be in Pennsylvania. And you get a risk-free bet up to $500. That's right. This is the best new customer offer out there. Checking the Parks app right now. Lakers, 6-point favorite over Denver. Boston, 3-point favorite over the Heat. I like the Heat tonight. Bird, 6.5 over Cincinnati. Over on the 46.5. Over. Thursday, it's a kind of a bad game. Miami, 2.5 over Jacksonville. That's a hold your nose. That's a watch Philly. They're off Thursday. That's watch something else. That game. Anyway, go to Parks Casino. Get that risk-free bet up to $500. Got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
One newsy note. Notre Dame canceled practice today after 4 players tested positive for COVID.
That's not good.
No, not since they're trying to pick up football back and the campuses around the country are ravaged by coronavirus. I still don't know how college football is going to last. But anyway, you have the Phillies lineup.
Yeah.
Must win today. Nola on the mound.
You might not like it, but I know Club Tyrone is popping right now. Leading off, Andrew McCutchen. Okay, normal. Bryce Harper batting second. That's fine. Alec Bohm in the 3-hole. Didi Gregorius fourth. JT Realmuto back in the lineup batting fifth. Gene Segura sixth. Jay Bruce seventh. Your 8-9 hitters. Adam Haseley followed by Mickey Moniak. Your thoughts?
What, the pencil bat crew?
Yes.
Tyrone, you like those two guys?
Club Tyrone guys.
Oh, God.
There's free shots all around.
Wait, they're Club Tyrone guys? Both those guys? Paisley Park and the pencil man?
Yes. And he said every base hit, everybody in Club Tyrone gets a free shot. By the way, can Mickey Moniak explain to me why it looked like he was playing?
Can he hit the ball to the outfield yet?
He got a base hit.
No, but can he hit it on a fly?
Maybe.
To the outfield?
But I need to wonder why I tried to bribe
Massimo the other night.
What, hit it in the outfield?
So he was taking BP, or BP, he was hitting, right? And so he pesters me all the time for a Coke. And I refuse to give him soda. Except like once, every once in a while. Because I'm Marinovich.
Right.
And I don't want to give him soda. I don't believe in it. But he loves a Coke. You know. Hey, listen.
Coke's cold a nice, Coke after practice?
A nice great. Coke is a nice item. You know? But you got to let. I don't want that bad habits for him. So I limit it. Like a treat. Like, you know? So I give him he's hitting, and I go, dude, if you hit 4 to the outfield, you're going to have a Coke with dinner tonight.
And?
And he had a Coke.
That's good work.
It was funny. All right, cuz. What do you think? You like him today, Phils?
I don't know. Moniak's got to have his head in the game. It looked like he was taking infield outfield on that base hit.
Forget Moniak.
He wasn't
it's
ready.
It's about Nola. Nola pitched a gem today.
Yeah, and Voth is going to give up like 8 runs.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Corey Seidman put out some interesting numbers that you're going to love.
Oh, God.
The Philadelphia Phillies are 27-27 this season.
Yes.
They are 108-108 since the start of last season.
Right.
They are 187-187 since April of 2018.
Right.
Over that 3-year span, the Phillies were 25th in payroll in 2018, jumped to 10th last year and are 6th this season to have a 500 record.
It's Matty Kuchak.
It's your boy.
Matty McKay. Real quick for picks, I like Nuggets plus the 6.5 tonight.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. And I like the Heat tomorrow night plus the 3.
I kind of just, yeah, I mean, I don't want the Nuggets to just lay down. Like, I kind of feel like the Lakers roll.
It was a tough game. AD with the game winner. And I thought Lakers, like, will they come back after when you lose a game? But you know what? The Denver team is weirdly resilient.
Yeah, you're right. They're down 3-1 to the Clippers.
And I think they at least keep it close.
Okay. All right, I like that. I'm not making a play. I retire from the NBA the rest of this postseason. Putting all my attention on the football.
Yeah, I know. You watching the Lightning Stars?
I have not paid as much attention.
No,
I mean, once football came back, yeah, I mean, Phillies are in that stretch, even though they make me angry every night. But
yeah,
you know, stretch run.
I hear you. Let's get back to the phones. Talk to our friends. Brandon, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic brand. Hello, Brandon.
Oh, what's up, cuz? What's up, A-Dog? How we doing?
What's going on, brother?
Nothing much. Never gonna get paralyzed, you know?
Yeah.
But after that game on Sunday, cuz, I'm hurting. You know, I've been trying to eat my feelings away.
I know.
Lots of whiskey, and nothing's working.
The JMO's not working?
No, and you know that sad day when that's not working.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a couple gin and tonics last night, didn't work either.
Oh, what kind of gin you working with?
I do the Bombay Sapphire.
Very solid choice. I like it.
Yeah.
But do you, like, after two games, I've never felt like this. Just complete hopelessness. I don't know if they're going to turn it around. It's a sad day, you know?
I know. And I would love to sit here and say, look, they've turned it around the last two seasons. But how many times are you going to press your luck, right? And then the next four, all right, so they beat Cincinnati. San Fran is banged up.
Mm-hmm.
But are they still a lock against those two? I don't know. And then you got Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
Too, right?
What's that, brother?
They go out to San Francisco, right? They're playing out there?
Yes.
So that's tough.
Yes. Agreed.
And then this whole thing with the conspiracy theory going on, too. If that's true, Doug and Howie got to get their head out of their tuchuses and get out of town.
I know. I know I might be naive here, but from a football standpoint, does it make any sense? Like, I believe that Doug and Howie are astute men. Like, they know that you can't just throw that quarterback away.
You would hope so, but
right? Like, instead of throwing away, how about you help them? Right? Here's a novel idea. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I just hope for the best, guys.
All right, buddy. You hang in there, Brandon. Always a pleasure, my brother.
Have a good one, man.
You too, buddy. Take it easy. Frankie in Westchester. Frank.
My man. Down the conspiracy theory alarm! No! No hyperbole! This isn't hyperbole! It's fiery, nefarious! It's wicked! Something wicked this way comes. I really don't believe it, Anthony, but you know why I do believe it?
What?
Nothing makes sense in our sports landscape anymore. That's
nothing. You're right. You're right on, brother.
So, would this smack me? No. I really don't believe it, but, Maron. And, you know, I love Doug when he gets chesty. You know what I picture? Doug's a fine chinsman, right? He's got a chin. He gets chesty. I'm sure you saw Invincibles, right? The Invincibles.
I just saw it, actually, with Massimo. I hadn't seen it. I just saw it. Yes.
I picture the dad with the big chin. That's Doug.
Yes. Oh. That's good.
Hey, great calls today. La Familia keeps growing. New guys.
Yes. Very good. Excellent calls. Yeah.
So I'm going to
touch on Sunday. I'm sure we're short on time, but, you know, Doug talks about lack of execution. This goes way back before your time. And like in the mid 70s, John McKay coached the woeful Tampa Bay Bucks team, 0-14. Uh-huh. After game, when asked, what do you think of your team's execution? He goes, I'm all for it.
So, that's a good line.
The defense, and by the way, Jim Schwartz, good feedback today. But, the defense was what Nate Geary. Nate Geary, he was running out of chasing things all. If he had an Apple Watch on his wrist, it would probably list him over 5,000 steps for the game or something.
Yeah. He would not play well.
Chasing.
But
everything.
What do you expect? I can't play linebacker in the NFL.
I know. White Snake.
Siggy. Let me hear it, Frankie.
Hey, Young Ball, how about Moniac's throw?
Yeah, that was bad.
Sorry, it wasn't good enough.
My granddaughter throws off the wrong foot. She's more accurate.
I know. No, it's horrible. Noel's got to pitch a gem today. Come on.
We need a gem.
Uncut gem. Frankie, hang in there, my brother. We love you.
Love you, man.
See you, pal. Okay. G in Wallingford, you're on 97. Father Fanatic, G.
Yo, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's happening, G?
Real quick. Yo, did I hear you that you don't give Matt any soda because you don't want him to develop any bad habits? I just thought it was funny because, listen, I just think it's funny because you're like, I've seen you at spots, back in the day when I could go visit you at different spots and, stuff like that over at the... casino or whatnot.
Yeah,
you're like the king of bad habits.
Yeah, do as I say, not as I do.
I know. I just thought it was funny. Hey, listen, trust me. I would do the same thing with my son when he was little. I'd be like, I always try to prod him. Like, all right, listen. We're gonna throw 10 more pitches. If you hit 5 of them, you get this.
Right. Exactly. Right. And here's the deal. I it's taken me. You know, a lot of years to get rid of the bad habits. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, I hear you. I just thought it was funny. But anyway, hey, on Sunday, Joe Burrow is no joke of a quarter. I mean,
he's
shown me a lot, I think, in these first 2 weeks. You kind of touched on it. I don't know if the Eagles, I expect them to win. I really don't. I mean, I don't know what they can do defensively with the personnel that they have
right.
to really change anything at this point. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, it's just get more pressure up front. I mean, it's just certain things that I don't know what they're going to be able to do technique-wise or personnel-wise to get a difference. But I did have one question for you, and I don't know. On the Carson interception in the end zone, part of me was thinking that Whiteside needed to flatten that route out a little bit more.
Yes.
Come straight down along the goal line.
I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing, but here's the problem, right? It's why I can't give Wentz an alibi on the play because it's first down. You know who you're throwing to. You can't make that. You can't risk on that throw. You can't risk the game, and that effectively and lose the game.
Oh, absolutely. I did see something this morning on one of the shows this morning, and the guy was breaking down Carson on that throw. He was saying, basically his legs were so far apart that he was he's off balance, and he couldn't get as much as he needed to on that throw as well. So, there was a lot of blame to go around, including Doug. I mean, even on the sounder in your last commercial where you hear Mikey say, Goff looked better than Wentz, and part of it, obviously, and it goes to the play calling, too. I mean, Goff is still running play action and kind of bootlegging.
The game plan was lovely, right? Like, the McVay game plan was beautiful. It was the work of art. It should be hanging in the Louvre.
I mean, he was in the rocking chair all day. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it was like, it's easy to
look. And by the way, you know, he's throwing the woods and he's throwing a cup and he's got a rookie who actually knows how to run a route. You know, thanks, G. Let me get to Pete and then give me the update on the poll. Petey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pete.
I've been on hold listening to these calls. Holy cow, man. I guess I'm on your side with this. You know, I think coaches have too big of an ego to do anything to, you know, he's a Super Bowl winning coach. I just don't see it. I mean, do I see Carson eventually in Indianapolis or Green Bay? Yes, I do. I do think he's going to be somewhere else.
Right.
But it's because, like, for example, when you retire and they play the tapes of your old shows, you know, if to embarrass you, they're gonna show when how you talked about Chip Kelly.
Right.
He's doing things nobody else does. He's amazing. This guy is this. And I mean, basically, you know, like, I don't want to listen to him now because it embarrasses, right? Okay.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it.
But then you came away with that he wasn't any good anymore.
First of all,
guess what?
Well, real quick on that.
Carson Wentz,
all right, can I please address that since you brought it up? Now, coming out of, I do a college football show every week. That my man was running a lot of different things at Oregon. I thought the guy was a thinker. He didn't know the league. He didn't know the players. But the guy still was a smart guy.
Right. But what? Well,
he was an a-hole, but that was his biggest problem.
Right. But the idea is, I think personally, from a coach's view, I think that Doug's frustration is, I think I'm starting to realize that this guy isn't as good as I thought he was. And it's frustration.
Okay,
it's
so let me ask you this. I agree with you. What about Carson going, you know what, Doug? I don't think you're as good as I needed you to be.
That could very well be the case. And when two people feel like that, it's time to part ways.
He goes, hey, where's Frank at? Because I need Frank. Since you think I'm not as good, well, I don't think you're as good since Frank is an Indy.
And you could be right, which might be even worse if they both think that way, because now they have to deal with each other for a the rest of the
season. I don't know. I don't know either. I'm just giving you the flip side of what you're saying. One more point.
Okay. We know, like, and you guys are breaking down the game and the Bengals and this and that. It's the winless Bengals. If anything we've learned over the last 29 games, when we play losing teams and bad teams, and I know Joe Burrow is good, but the Bengals are still bad. You watch Carson this week, 350 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns on the ground, because we play bad teams. Carson's great against bad teams.
So let me ask a question before you leave.
Yeah.
Tell me one question. Answer me one thing. When you look at those receivers, other than DeSean Jackson, whom they play half the time, who's any good?
When we talk about Carson Wentz, like for example, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Jackson from Baltimore,
right? They got
all quarterbacks that are way better than Carson, way better than Carson. But because we like him, man,
I disagree. I mean, again, you could say all you want, Pete, but you're wrong because you didn't answer the question. You try to give me that Josh Allen's way better. Josh Allen's got Stephon Diggs. Kyler Murray has DeAndre Hopkins. Well, listen, I'm not telling you that Wentz is as good as Kyler Murray, which is crushing to me. However, you can't discount the fact and all your pomposity that he's got nothing to throw to. And that the coach might just be a hollow guy. I don't know if he is or not, but is it possible that it's not just the quarterback, that the coach is hollow man? I think that's possible. I don't know. But as we just rail the quarterback out of town, you might want to think about that. Well, it was a lot of fun. Very interesting. Thanks, everybody, for hanging. Mikey's up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.